Thank you, Radio's Ryan Burrow. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. We'd love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200. If I'm imagining things, just say so, but I don't think I am. Something looks fantastic. Is it your hair? What's going on with you?
You're sparkling.
You're glistening. I don't know what it is.
And not even men. I would say little teenage boys.
Yeah.
You guys pick on me nonstop during our lunch break.
By complimenting you?
No, you're complimenting.
Kevin, is it me or does Wendy just look?
She's glowing today. I don't know.
Younger?
Is it new makeup? I don't. Some new
clothes?
Something's
new. It's got to be everything, right? Is it all new? Or is it? Who are you?
Yesterday, we're in the office during lunch, and I don't remember what we were. I said something nasty to Kevin, and he goes, "Is that any way to treat a guy on his birthday?" And I
right.
said, "Oh my God, it's your birthday." And he goes, no. And you cracked up. How is that funny?
I was proud of Kevin when he did that. Just the way he sold it. I love the way he sold it.
And then you said, I love to watch Wendy's expression go from feisty to feeling bad because she forgot your birthday.
That's right. That was enjoyable.
It's not funny, you guys. It's like I have two older brothers that I hate, that I work with every day.
I don't understand the hate.
I mean, we're just being nice to you.
That's all we're doing is throwing out some compliments. You look...
Have a little meeting after
it's like
I left yesterday?
Working with Heidi Klum.
Shut up. I got my hair colored yesterday.
Is that what it is?
Balayage.
I never would have guessed that.
Balayage is calling.
You're doing songs from South Pacific.
Yes.
So whatever they put in your hair dye is going right through your head. explain the process because it's very, very summery, beachy.
It's funny you say beachy because I have always been a blonde and I like the look of dark roots, like
yes.
a dark-haired girl who gets blonde highlights.
Right.
So they put dark in my roots mm-hmm. to cover the gray and then blonde everywhere. And I haven't washed it yet, so I haven't been able to style it my way. But
mm-hmm.
thank you. You
now,
knew what was happening. That's why you said
I don't think that's true, Kevin. That's not true, is it?
Definitely not
no.
true.
I just really don't like you.
No. But you have to understand that when similar things have happened to you in the past and I haven't noticed or Kevin hasn't noticed or anyone, it hurts because you go, well, I've looked a certain way for months and months and months and now I look a different way and nobody noticed. So now we're hypersensitive to change.
Is that
Are
your
those new socks?
Theory? I'm not
your
wearing socks.
Oh, that's what it is.
But thank you.
That might be what it is.
I get it, though. Sarah seems to never notice when I get a haircut, and it's usually a pretty dramatic change.
I noticed, and you said, yeah, I got a cut Saturday, and I said, well, that would be over the weekend, so I didn't see you.
Yeah, but you said it like at 2 o'clock on Tuesday.
Well, I was busy. We've got the show to do.
Right, the show takes up a lot of time. A friend of mine told me a story about a year ago. He had a beard and a mustache for over a year, almost a year and a
beard
half.
Beard and a mustache,
two bits. That's not a bad price for a beard and a mustache. So for a year and a half, his wife and child saw him with a beard and mustache. And then one day he said, you know what, enough of this, and shaved it off. And 3 days later, his wife said, what's with the, there's no more beard going on. 3 days later.
And it was a full beard?
It wasn't like a ZZ Top beard, but it was definitely...
filled in, not like the Don Johnson, just kind of freshly shaved.
Not just stubble. He had a beard and a mustache, and it took three... His son never has still not noticed that he doesn't have a beard anymore.
That happened. Jimmy Mack had like a stubble thing going for a while, and he just decided for summer he was going to shave it off.
Yeah.
And it took us about 3 days. I finally said, oh my
What's
God,
different?
You look like a little boy. Grow that back.
Well, that's hurtful. Isn't it?
I didn't say
Wouldn't
that.
Wouldn't that be? That would be hurtful. Well, whatever you did, it looks fantastic,
Thank
and I
you.
Hope you look as good tomorrow. I hope that whatever you did wasn't just for a day. I hope that it's permanent or semi-permanent.
You know what else? I always wear black, and I have a light shirt on. That is different.
And is that to play up the new hair color?
No, everything else
happened.
Is dirty.
Oh, all right. That seems
You go like
believable.
Five shirts back in your closet.
Right.
You know.
Right. You know what? Speaking of that, I was just explaining to my wife because she has, there's a couple of services that will come to your house. If you have clothes you want to discard, you call these people, and if you have enough of it.
Amvets.
Amvets is one of them. That's not the one we're using, I don't think. No, it's not. It's a different one.
There are a
one.
Bunch of them there, that will
yeah,
come.
They'll come. So a couple days ago, she said, hey, go through your closet and find some things. And you know me, everything I have was purchased in the last few days. I don't have anything old that wouldn't be in style anymore. So I said, this doesn't apply to me, but thank you for the notice. So then she said, and I have a, I have a closet all to myself because I've taken a closet in another room. The closet right. in our room is all her clothes, so I have my own closet in another room. So I was explaining to her, and I think women have the same thing. I know guys do. I know I do anyway, where some of my clothes are in what I call heavy rotation.
Yes, absolutely.
Which means I wear them about once a week or every other week. Some clothes are in semi-regular rotation, maybe once a month
or
so.
And some you forget you have.
Some I don't know if I'll ever wear.
See, that's where I'm reading this Marie Kondo, I don't know. Obviously, I'm not finished with the book, but it's how to declutter, and mm-hmm. you're supposed to start with clothes first. And I was looking at the closet, and most of it is Jim's.
Oh, it is? He has more clothes than you do?
Well, hanging clothes, because he hangs his sweatpants.
Oh, you shouldn't.
T-shirt. I'm like, what are you doing?
That's a lot of clothes. How many hangers do you guys go through?
Well, we just have them, and then, but I have to purge, and we have been trying to do that. I'm a bad housekeeper. There, I said it, and I know. I just, it's overwhelming. The kids still have stuff in their drawers that don't fit them. So, I mean, literally, you have to go take everything out of the drawers, dump them in a big pile, go through it.
Right.
So we're in the process of doing that.
Oh, that's a long process.
I know, and it's so overwhelming. I get about 5 shirts done a day.
That's the start.
It's making me crazy. I don't even want to go home.
But you know what I mean, like with the heavy rotation and semi-heavy rotation. Like the clothes that I wore a shirt yesterday that I've worn twice ever. So that would be a good example of something that I could get rid of without a problem.
Well, wait, now I can't. What did he wear yesterday, Kevin? Did you notice?
No. I noticed he wore a white hoodie on Monday, though.
I love that white hoodie.
Thanks.
And that was kind of, was that an old one or a new one?
No, I just got that at the Gap a few weeks ago.
I love that.
Thank you.
That's really good.
I'm wearing that one to Kevin's wedding. That's the one I'm wearing to the wedding.
I'll definitely notice. It'd be hard not to catch.
Although they say you shouldn't wear a white hoodie to the wedding because it takes away from the bride, but we'll see.
No, get a black one.
Is that the way to go?
Yep. All right,
I will.
You wear the same thing, not the same clothes every day, but the same style pretty much every day. Would that be safe to say?
Yeah, I dress like, for people who have never seen me, I dress like Schroeder from Peanuts.
You really do. So you're typically wearing some kind of short pant.
A polo shirt or something similar.
And shorts.
And Charles M. Schulz draws me every morning, and then I come to work.
Well, thank God he does, because it's nice having you here.
It's
and
nice.
You look good today. Did you get your hair done?
You look spectacular.
All right. Thank you. Just stop it, please.
All right.
You know what? This is what is disgusting about me.
What?
I am more comfortable with you guys teasing me than with getting compliments. What is wrong with me?
If we don't give compliments, then you look at us all kind of sideways, like, hey, I did something. Let's hear it. But then when we do, and I thought, Kevin, we handled ourselves beautifully this morning.
I thought so. I nailed it.
Yep.
Immediately.
Yeah, but that makes me uncomfortable. So go back to teasing
me. All right.
All right. Can we take a break?
Yes.
312-981. You're getting me all choked up.
The compliments are making you upset.
312-981-7200. We're talking about just stuff on this pre-Friday on 720 WGN.
It's me, Bill Left. Same Bill Left as was here yesterday and the day before that. But Wendy is younger and smarter and prettier. Smells nice. Smell like a rose. You smell like a rose.
Will you please stop it?
I don't know what it is.
We were going through old clothes that we were talking about it, and Chris wants to jump in on the conversation. It's time to purge, Chris.
Yeah, tell me about it. Although I will say up front, I hang up my T-shirts. I don't.
You do too?
You do? So what's wrong
do.
With you people?
I do also.
You do?
Sweatpants, though, they go in the bottom of the drawer stuck in the back. But
yes.
No, my T-shirts, because if I were to fold the T-shirts, I wouldn't have any drawer space. So
but there's a way that you could, this Marie, I got to get you her information, but there's a way to fold T-shirts, and you can look on YouTube. Instead of just folding it like we always do, where it's like the size of a small pizza, like a square, they have you fold it that way, and then you kind of fold it in half, put them all in your drawer so they're facing upright, so you can just grab the one you want. It's not like you have to dig under a pile to go through
that's
them.
Good idea.
Interesting. Huh. Okay. Well, I'll concede that point.
All right, back to you, Chris.
But otherwise, it is really humbling because I'm in my 40s.
Yeah.
And it's humbling when you're going through clothing and you come across a shirt that you really like, or a pair of pants, or a pair of slacks, dress slacks, And then you realize that it's been 10 years. That's why you don't fit in them anymore. And then do you, okay, now do you hang on to them because I'm going to lose this weight? Or you know what? No, call it good and just, you know, donate them or whatever. So of course, you know, you're in your 40s. You start to gain a little here and there. So that was a very humble. I had to get rid of 3 pairs of pants and 2 shirts because of that very reason, which was kind of shameful. But
Bill, do you hold on to them? Because women fluctuate in size a little bit more, I think, than men do.
I hold on to them until, because I've told you the story about our washer or dryer. I don't know which. It just eats holes through my clothes. Until that happens, I tend to hang on to them, yeah. Yeah,
I've been known to do that until I realize that because I'm a size 34, 36 now. When I was a size 30, that's not going to happen.
That's depressing.
But what is also kind of surprising is like this happened last week. I'm going through my closet and I see a shirt I haven't seen in a while, and I take it out and it still fits. And I realize the shirt predates my marriage.
Oh wow!
To put that in perspective, my divorce went final in 2000.
Wow.
Hey, if it still looks good, wear it.
It's exactly, you know, I put it back. I was like, you know what? I will wear this at some point. If it comes from a store that doesn't exist anymore. So I was like, you know what? It's a keepsake, so I'm going to go and hang on to that one. But that's the only one I found that's that ancient. So far, knock on wood.
All right. But, well, keep decluttering.
Oh, absolutely.
Thanks, Chris.
Last winter, I had a sweater. I don't know where it was. It was in, you know how in your closet, like I said.
The black hole.
Because, yeah.
It goes away. It's like a trap door or something.
It's the weirdest thing. There's a part of your closet. You put clothes in there, and somehow they magically move to the back behind something. So I found 2 sweaters or 3. 2 sweaters that I hadn't worn in years.
Is one light blue?
No.
Oh.
Neither is light blue. But one is kind of like an off purple almost. And one day I go, for some reason, I don't know, why would you remember this? There's a sweater I haven't worn in quite a while. I'll just wear that today. And I did. And as I had it on, I go, boy, I bet it's been 5, maybe 10 years since I had this on. Then we had our pictures taken because we had guests here in the studio. We had our pictures taken for Facebook. And a friend of mine from my days of stand-up saw the picture and he goes, oh, the purple sweater. I haven't seen that in 22 years.
Oh, my God.
It was 22 because I haven't done stand-up in about around that, 22 or 23 years. And that was the last time I had worn it, 22 or 23 years ago.
And kudos to you for keeping the moths out of your closet because I'm surprised there weren't any moth holes.
Yeah, I don't know how that worked. But
do you have mothballs?
No, thankfully. Even though
people
genetically I was
at you.
Predestined to have them. No, I was fortunate to have escaped that somehow.
All right, 630, Wendy and Bill, I work from home. I take care of the kids. My house is not dirty, but there is crap everywhere. So I sympathize with you, Wendy. What I like to do to rectify the situation is just drink beer.
Oh, that'll help.
I feel like I've texted that into myself.
That's the right way to be.
It's just overwhelming.
But don't you feel like there are a lot of places now where you can get rid of your stuff, your clothes? There's so many of those boxes now and parking lots. And you know, we've got the Goodbye Girl, obviously, telling you to drop
Goodwill.
Stuff off.
But I've made a rule with myself that I have to get rid of clothing before I get any more.
Yeah.
And
that's solid. Have you ever
heard of the Project 333?
What is that? I know what that is, but I don't know what I've
is
heard
it
the name.
Eddie Olchuk's thing?
No, it's what you do is you exactly. No, what you do is you pick out for 3 months your 33 pieces of clothing that you're going to wear. This is outerwear. It doesn't include underwear, socks, anything like that. But you have 33 articles of clothing. They can be shirts. They can be pants, whatever. And then for 3 months, you stick with those.
Oh, wow.
And then you cycle them out.
Is that easy to do or hard to do?
I found it very easy. My wife is not. My closet space is pretty open. But, you know, I mean, thankfully, because we're in Illinois, you know, you can kind of rotate between the seasons.
Sure.
So
oh, that, makes
that helps. But yeah, you know, I purge a bunch of stuff and, you know, we've got a charity that we drop off to. But it's not hard. I don't think. I mean, you guys might be getting sick of the clothes I'm wearing, but
they look fresh and beautiful every day.
Yep.
So you only keep 33 and get rid of the rest?
Well, you can get rid of them or, you know, if it's seasonal, you can stow them away, obviously,
for
the next session.
Ryan does it.
Honestly, who does that where you go? I mean, I know in the olden days, your mom would go, okay, it's time to get all your summer clothes down from the attic and change. I mean, don't you just keep everything together now?
You'd be amazed at how much time you spend just sorting and organizing and folding. And when you've got fewer things, it frees up time to do other stuff.
I'm throwing everything out.
It's all going. Everything must go.
We had like 10, I'm not even kidding you, 10 bags. I am a shoe freak. So I buy shoes. Well, I was going to say a shoe horse.
Yeah. Whoa. All right. Even that would be okay.
And
you scared me, though.
No.
With the options.
No.
Oh. What are you going to reveal?
I just buy shoes. And, you know, honestly, that black hole in the closet, like I'll look at some and I'll go, oh my God, when did I buy these?
Right.
I don't even like these.
Right.
So we had 10 bags, giant leaf garbage bags full of clothes, and they were all in the back of one of the cars. And we needed the car for something, so Jim just transferred him to the other car. Oh. And when he went to go see the Grateful Dead, I said, just take him out of the trunk. He goes, no, I'll just find a place to drop him off. So on the way to the Grateful Dead show, right. He found one of those boxes.
He could have set up a booth at
the Grateful Dead show and made a lot of money.
Oh.
So we still have to purge. I have to.
That's the other thing, too. You can, you know, if you make it your goal, if you want to resell that stuff, you know, a lot of people will buy it. And, you know, we did it at my house one time. We took a bunch of the kids' toys and stuff like that, and we sold them. I had a bunch of old soccer jerseys. I sold them, and we made enough money to go camping for a weekend.
Wow.
So, you know, if you set a goal, it's really not that hard.
I don't know why I saved the breastfeeding chair that is in the attic.
Bring it in.
I
have it here in the studio.
Do
for
it
guests.
Anymore? No, but it's just it was made specifically for nursing mothers.
Yeah,
it's
right.
ugly,
yeah.
But you know, God, when I had kids, everybody had to have a breastfeeding chair, and then the little stool that rocked with it. It's like, you know what? I could have just sat in a regular recliner.
Of course.
But we saved it for what? I'm not going to breastfeed again.
You don't know. Come on, you don't know. All right, let's take a quick break. We've got chairs for sale. Wendy has a chair for sale if anyone's interested. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Ryan, thank you. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, it would be nice to call every once in a while. Let us know you're doing okay. You know how there has been a lot of talk recently, mostly because of the fact that the election is coming up, and Some people are not thrilled. Oh, they're having this huge presidential election in November. It was in the paper today.
Or
yesterday.
November.
Yesterday. All right. So some people on the Republican side are not thrilled with the choice that's being made. Some people on the Democratic side are not thrilled with the choice that they have made. So what you've heard a lot lately is, you know what I would like is, I would like a man or a woman in there who's not a career politician. I would like somebody running the country who hasn't come up through the Senate or been, you know, in politics in any
way. Someone who's not jaded.
That's it, right.
That's
it, exactly.
Sounds good on paper.
So that's been playing in the back of my head for weeks because people, you know, every once in a while people go, well, it needs to be a businessman. If it's not Donald Trump, maybe a guy like Mark Cuban would be a good guy, you know, and a lot of names have been thrown around lately.
Cuban does not like Trump, by the way.
Oh, boy, that's become very apparent recently. Yes. Yeah, not a fan. Not a fan.
Who does anymore besides his family? Honestly.
Oh, there's still people.
I know,
there are still people.
Now they're going to have an intervention to tell him to act better. That's not going to go well.
It'll work. That'll
be
fine.
Back to you.
All right. So in my head for the last couple of weeks, it's not that I have focused entirely on this, but every once in a while, if I'm by myself, if I'm driving or I'm just walking somewhere, I'm like, all right, so if it's not Donald Trump, if America said we need a man or a woman to be the president who has no political background at all, we just want to break things up and start fresh and get a bright idea in there, and it's not going to be Donald Trump, who would it be? So that's like a little game I play. And then yesterday, out of nowhere, it hit me. I know the absolute perfect person who has no, to my knowledge, absolutely no political background at all, but I think would do a fine job running the country. Can I tell you who it is?
Yes, I'm curious.
He currently manages the Chicago Cubs, and his name is Joe Madden.
He's kind of busy right now.
Well, he is very busy right now. This is the, you know, this is the home
this
stretch.
This is what you think about when you're alone. You shouldn't be alone very often.
That part's true. I should not be alone very often. I will give you that. But I heard him yesterday. I've heard him before at press conferences. The Cubs had an amazing win, amazing come-from-behind win in the ninth inning yesterday. So he comes out and before anything else, because it's the second time this week that they kind of came out of nowhere to win a game heroically in the ninth inning. And a lot of guys would come out there and they would do what you expected to do. You talk about the team and how they, you know, they've got that kind of thing going for them. So they start to ask him a question and he stops them and he goes, "Hey, before anything else, I just want to say the reason we won this game is because of you, the fans, because we were out there on a hot day and we had already won the series. And, you know, you think to yourself, well, we're down a couple runs in the ninth and they got their closer in. We're not going to win this thing." He said, "But the fans had so much energy and enthusiasm, and without you, we would not have won this game." And I thought, that's what's lacking in the people running for president, is it, you know, they take credit for things and they blame each other for things, but nobody says, "Hey, you know what's important is you guys are really the important ones out there." In this case, it would be the people who live here in the United States, and in Joe Madden's case, it was the fans. But I would like a man or a woman to say, "Hey, everything aside, if this is a great country, it's because of you, the people living in it and the people working in it. You're what's making it. I'll do everything I can to move things along and make life pleasant, but really the success falls on you."
Well, Hillary sort of said that in a roundabout way.
Yeah.
She's not coaching a team. It's
right.
A little different.
No, it is different. I know it's different.
Trump just says he's going to take care of us, which, you know, I got to be honest with you, you love to hear that. I'll handle everything. It sounds good.
It sounds good. It sounds
good.
But
he never says, you know, "I wouldn't be here without you."
No,
he's like, "I'm here because of me."
Right. I alone will run the,
Yeah.
Yeah.
I, me.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like a guy, and if he's, Joe Madden, if you're listening, I know you're very busy with the Cubs right now.
It's too late, Bill.
I'm just saying this.
Next election.
But he has a lot of the qualities that I would like in a leader.
We would have like funky suit day for all of America.
Right.
It would be fun again.
I'm sure you know the story about him saying to a member of the Cubs, "Try not to suck."
Yeah.
That would be his platform to America. "Hey, America, try not to suck." I like that.
I don't think Secret Service would like him biking all over Washington, D.C.
No, okay.
He's got like one of those really expensive bikes, too.
I know.
You know, several thousand
dollars. Ryan, there are some blemishes on my theory. There are a couple
of
bubbles.
There's nothing wrong with that, riding the bike. Jan, what do you think? You agree with Bill?
I think that Joe Madden didn't get to be a great baseball coach by not playing baseball.
That's true.
By not being involved in baseball. I mean, that's the point that people are missing. Is that you? I taught for 33 years. I had to have a license. I started out as a rookie, and I took more courses, and I got better because I was in education for a long time. And by the way, Hillary Clinton's speech did say that America is great because we work together.
Did she say that?
We're stronger together. I thought she did, Jan.
Yeah.
She does use the we pronoun as opposed to the I pronoun all the time. And I taught English, so I do know about pronouns. But anyway, I mean, I've been listening to you guys try to figure out who's the better candidate. And so I finally wrote down a list. You know, I mean, first of all, the person has to act a little presidential.
Sure.
And for me, that's about compassion and being measured and being phlegmatic. And there's one candidate, I don't see that.
Yeah.
And also, having taught English, I expect to have a thesis statement and then supporting detail. And I don't.
Wow, you're a tough crowd, Jan.
Well, I'm just saying, for me, there's just no comparison. And I hear people saying, "Well, they're so equal." They're not so equal.
You didn't hear us say that. And I know that people say, you know, it'd be nice to have a non-politician in there. Again, it sounds good on paper. When push comes to shove, I do want someone with experience.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Jan. Send your thesis to her. She will,
I'm already forwarding my thesis to Jan. If Joe Madden does get it, if by some way he does become president, maybe Hillary Clinton could then run the Cubs. I don't know how it would work. I don't want anybody out of a job.
She is local. She's from here. She'd want the Cubs to do well.
I would think so.
She's been spotted with a Yankees hat occasionally.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
She doesn't look that good with a baseball cap on, to be honest with you.
No.
And in the whole uniform?
Yeah.
That would look silly.
Okay, that would be a problem. All right. I'll give you that. So just think about it. If not this election cycle, 4 more years from now, maybe Joe Madden running the country.
You're going to start a Facebook campaign?
Yeah, I've already started a Facebook campaign. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we have other things for you. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thanks, Wendy. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN, where we can be reached at 312-981-7200. I have another short story from the world of sports. It won't take but a couple of minutes, but I wanted to share it with you. Yesterday, the Olympics haven't officially started. They've not had the
tonight,
opening ceremonies.
Or tomorrow night, right?
Tomorrow, yeah. The opening ceremonies. I'll listen to the little more. That's very pretty. That's very pretty. So the official ceremonies will start tomorrow, and that's kind of the kickoff of the Olympics. But there are still some events going on, preliminary events. For instance, the women's soccer team played last night, and they beat New Zealand 2-0. Or 2-0, I think you're supposed to say in soccer.
Just 2-0.
Yeah.
2-0.
You know, you criticize people for saying...
To zip.
Yeah, but same with nil. You don't go 2-0, you go 2-0. 2-0.
2-0.
It's all right. You can talk circles around all of us in tennis, so...
I know, but it's just so funny.
He'll be dropping loves all over the place.
You got caught.
Two love. Yeah, they beat New Zealand 2-0 yesterday. So in every sport, I guess, has their own way of saying zero. Isn't that weird? I don't know.
In baseball, it's nothing.
Right.
Well, it's 2-0.
All right. So last night, the U.S. team, which I believe, Ryan, is favored to go all the way and win this, right?
They're very well in the past, yes. Yeah. They are, you know, if not the most elite team in soccer,
yeah,
they're up there.
Yep. All right. So they take the field, and they're playing against New Zealand, and the crowd comes out to watch. They have a very nice crowd, and I say very nice in terms of how many people came to the game. They did not act very nice. The U.S. has a goalie, a woman named Hope Solo, who has been with the team for quite a while, Olympic gold medal winner from years ago. Hope Solo, also, your husband would know her because she also flies around in the Millennium Falcon with Chewbacca.
When I saw Hope Solo, I said that would just be perfect if her brother was Han.
She spent years in carbonite. She was on the Bespin cloud planet, and they caught her, and they put her in carbonite, and she's recovered beautifully from that.
Does she have a furry friend?
Yes. Yes, she does. And that's a weird story. So... So she comes out on the soccer field yesterday to do her job to serve as goalie for the U.S. Olympic team. And then the crowd starts chanting things at her like Zika.
Well, it wasn't just at her, right?
No, it was at her because she's been kind of outspoken about the potential for danger at these games in Rio. And she's got pictures of herself on the internet wearing what looks like a giant beekeeper hat.
Did you ever see that picture of her? Yeah.
And for a while she was saying, you know, I got to be honest, I don't think I even want to go. And if I do go, I'm just going to stay in my room. I'm not going to walk around and get the Zika virus. So she comes out with the team yesterday. The team is already out, and they're being a little bit playful, the crowd. And then when she comes out, they start chanting. They're singing a song with Zika in it. Can we play a little audio from yesterday? Listen to this. This is from last night.
Zika, 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 Zika.
So this is her walking out on the field.
They sound like mosquitoes.
They do sound like mosquitoes. She kept slapping the side of her neck.
Because yelling Zika is just supporting her claim. That is the wrong thing to chant.
You know, that's interesting. Go on, Ryan. What were you going to say?
She is, just so you guys know, she is the Ron Artest of women's soccer, though. I mean, she's, you know, I'm serious. I mean, she's really rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Some of the things she said, some of the things she's done.
Very controversial.
There is a history there of even off the field stuff that's gone on. And so, I mean, and she's on the best team in the world. So, you know, you got to figure. I mean, this is like the LeBron taunts, right?
Yes,
yeah,
it
but
is.
The Zika is in her favor because everybody's talking about it. So if they're yelling, Zika, Zika, she could wave and go, yeah, exactly.
I told you. Yeah. Well, as I was hearing this, I was thinking, much like you and I have discussed this in the past, when Corey Crawford is in goal for the Blackhawks,
right,
and the crowd is going, Crawford.
Oh, that's a bad taunt.
That's
my name.
Oh, no, these guys figured out my name, and they know how to pronounce it. Oh, woe is me. You know, that's what if I'm her and I'm standing there in the goal, does that bother me? I don't know. Would that upset you if they just start singing the Zika song like they did?
No, and that was very creative. Zika, 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 Zika.
But that, like, that song is the official song that people sing in soccer stadia all over the world.
And in Brazil, too, of all places, yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, the soccer there is super intense.
Yes.
But the Zika chant is not, like, slamming her. They got to work on these things. The correlation has to be better.
I liked how well organized it was for the crowd. Like, did somebody come out early and go, hey, we're going to, you know, the soccer song we always sing at every soccer match? We're going to sing that song, but instead of ole, 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 we're going to sing Zika, Zika, Zika. Everybody on board with that? Good, let's do it.
It takes an Olympic Village.
Does. Yes, it does. All right, a break, some news, and then we'll talk to Penn Jillette of Penn and Teller. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, and we don't have a lot of time with this guy, so let's just get right
sure.
to it. The man, the myth, the legend. You really need no introduction, Penn Jillette. How are you?
Doing very well, Wendy. How you been?
Pretty great. I saw you. You've been all over the place. I saw you on Good Morning America with George Stephanopoulos, and you could have put him in your pocket.
I could. Yeah.
Did you think about that, Penn? Were you considering that?
More weight than he has.
You lost to George Stephanopoulos.
I did.
100 pounds. Presto is the book. How I made over 100 pounds disappear and other magical tales.
Yeah.
You will be at the Anderson's Bookshop in LaGrange, which is just
ZZ Top named LaGrange.
And yes. I live like 5 blocks away, so I might walk over there on Saturday.
Please do. It's 4 o'clock on Saturday.
4
yeah.
p.m. All right. So the big question is, how tall are you?
6'7".
You didn't lose any height, though, right, Penn? It was all weight,
very
correct?
Little, very little.
All right.
There were no inches lost anywhere, I think.
Good.
And you dropped 100 pounds, and I know the secret, but why don't you explain to others?
Well, the secret, there's really no secret. The secret was that, you know, you always try to diet easy. Say, have a smaller piece of pie, smaller piece of steak. I just did it hardcore. You know, I don't respect moderation at all. No one brags about walking up a slight incline. They brag about climbing Everest. So I wanted to change the whole way I related to food. So I did 2 weeks of eating just potatoes. Now, I could have chosen any mono diet. I could have chosen beans or corn. But I chose potatoes because it's the funniest word. 2 weeks, I ate nothing but potatoes, which knocks you out of a lot of America because you're no longer socially eating and you're no longer eating for entertainment. You're just eating when you're hungry. And also that resets your taste buds and your microbiome. So when you're done eating 2 weeks of potatoes, all of a sudden food tastes entirely different. And I can't exaggerate that at all because it was so profound. I mean, the first piece of corn I had after 2 weeks of potatoes was like candy. It was just salty and sweet and just terrific. Now, I want to say, as I'm saying this, this is the story of how I lost over 100 pounds, but I write it more first-person singular than Donald Trump's speeches. I only talk about myself. I don't talk about you because if you take medical advice from a Las Vegas magician, you're an idiot and you deserve to die.
Wow. Wow. So have doctors said to you, well, you're lucky to be alive, Penn Jillette. You could have died from eating only potatoes. Have doctors said that? No?
No, every doctor says this saved your life. I was about 340 pounds, and I was in the hospital for blood pressure like UK voltage, like 220 on drugs, on like 6 blood pressure meds, the highest dose. And it's clearly saved my life. I mean, where I ended up is on a diet that I use potatoes as kind of a performance art piece to knock myself off the American standard diet, or the standard American diet, SAD, as many doctors call it. I wanted to do that. But right now where I've landed is a diet that I don't think any doctor speaks out against, which is just whole plants, which is to say no animal products, no refined grains, very low salt, sugar, and oil. And then, you know, every couple of weeks, when it's rare and appropriate, when it's right, you know, my daughter says, let's get a sundae and a pizza. Sure. You know, it's what you eat chronically that matters. Not, no one gets fat and sick from one meal. No one gets healthy from one meal. It's what you eat every day.
And all we do is, you know, I'm half Italian. When you celebrate, you go out to eat. It's a birthday. Let's get some food. It's like, that's how we celebrate.
Yeah, you know, what I found out from changing my relationship with food so dramatically is that there's much more intimacy in hanging out with people not in a loud restaurant and not while stuff in your face. It's kind of nice to talk to people. It kind of takes away one of the barricades of interaction with other humans. You know, nothing matters more to me than sharing information with other people. And I actually find it easier when food is at the center of it. And that would have never crossed my mind that you could talk to somebody without a pizza in front of you.
And during this process, you opted to not really work out much as well, correct?
Yeah, you know, when you're losing, I mean, now I exercise, but when you're losing, before you're at target weight, you don't want to exercise because exercising is bodybuilding. And what you're trying to do is get the body to burn up that fat, and it actually burns more fat when it's not working out because it's not trying to store. The storage system works differently in the body. So I never would advocate not exercising, but not exercising while losing weight. Remember, I lost all the weight in about 4 months. I lost most of the weight in 3 months, 80 pounds in 3 months. So I was losing 0.9 pounds a day. So that's a very short period of time to not exercise. If you're losing weight, you know, the stupid way, like a couple pounds a month, you can't stop exercising during that because it's the rest of your stupid life. Mm-hmm. Do it fast and get it done.
All right. People who lose weight quickly, though, have saggy skin.
Yes. Yes.
Did that happen to you?
Yes, at first, and then your body kind of takes care of it. It's I'm a 61-year-old man, you know. I do not look and never will look like, you know, a 20-year-old man. But the saggy skin gets pretty much absorbed. I mean, it takes a year or two. I've now been at my target weight for 17 months, and research will tell you that 2 years is the magic number. That's when most people have failed by 2 years. So I've got another, you know, 7 months to go before I've really made it. But, you know, 17 months without gaining any weight back is still something to be a little bit happy about.
Did you have to change all your magical items and stuff because, you know, now when you're up against a box, you're closer to it than you were before because you have no stomach?
Yeah, the answer is yes, especially the suits. You know, Penn and Teller wear matching gray business suits that just look kind of normal. But the fact is they're all gimmicked, you know, to the max. We do like, you know, 8 costume changes during our show into identical suits because the suits are gimmicked like crazy. Different pockets, different things hidden, different threads, different wires running off them. All those suits had to be changed. Also, all advertising had to be changed. And the surprising thing was I had to do a lot of juggling practice to get back to where I was before because my muscles changed so much that the twitch muscles changed, the control of them changed. So to rewire that took a couple of weeks to get that back tight.
Wow, that's pretty interesting.
Speaking, yeah, you know, it was a third of my weight, so
wow.
I kind of a different person. It also changed how I move on stage. And when you're standing there, 340 pounds, there's a certain kind of gravitas that you get just by being there. And now I move more on stage, not only because I'm more comfortable and happier, but also because the way the audience sees me is different. The other thing that's so surprising is after losing 100 pounds, I'm wicked happier. I'm just happier.
Oh, good.
But you always seemed happy, Penn.
I always was happy, but now it seems it's another level. It's just I'm more relaxed. It's I believe I'm perhaps a little bit kinder. And, you know, my children are 10 and 11 years old, and at some point when I was in the hospital, I had to consider, you know, is chocolate cake worth leaving my children a little bit earlier?
Yeah.
See, that's why you're happier is you'll get to see them. You know you'll get to see them grow up, and how could that not equal happiness?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I could still get hit by a truck.
Yeah.
But certainly if you look
smaller casket, though.
Yep.
If you look at any actuary tables, my odds have just gone up for living longer.
On the back cover of your book of Presto, How I Made Over 100 Pounds Disappear, there's a picture of you standing in an old pair of your pants.
Yeah, actually, they're prop pants, but they're around the same size. Yeah, that's what I was wearing, yeah.
Very reminiscent of the late James Coco, by the way. Remember, he used
yeah.
to do that. He did that quite often. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But it's a pretty great thing. And, you know, it's kind of important, you know, for billions of years, every living thing, their major problem was getting more calories. They had too few calories. And now for maybe 100 years, in a very small segment of one species, we have the new problem of too many calories.
Yeah.
That's because of geniuses. I mean, it's because of people like Norman Borlaug in the Green Revolution in the 60s, just people that learned about food production and did wonderful, wonderful things. If you told someone 500 years ago that one of the problems in a country would be that the poor people would be too fat, they would roll around laughing that you were insane.
Yeah.
That's actually what's going on. And I'm just, you know, trying to learn about how we can change our relationship with food so we can actually celebrate the Green Revolution instead of having essentially what's been happening, which is good news kill us.
What would Teller have said if he would talk about your weight loss?
Teller was thrilled. You know, Teller's been working with me for over 41 years. He cares about me very, very much. And I've now found out since I've gotten healthier that he was much more worried than he let on.
Really?
No, I wasn't doing well. I wasn't doing well.
Yeah. Penn, I have to ask you, you mentioned Donald Trump's name. You brought up his name, so I'm curious. I know you were on Celebrity Apprentice. You got to spend
two tours of duty. Yeah.
Two tours, so you got to spend a little bit of time with Donald Trump. What do you make of all that's going on?
Well, you know, I think of all the people that were on Celebrity Apprentice, I'm the one who liked Donald Trump the most.
Yeah.
I have an incredible tolerance for eccentricity. And the qualities that he had for improvisational TV, because remember, I wasn't trying to get a job with him.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a job to offer me. Those casinos went bankrupt. I also have a job. I have more money than my father left me, mm-hmm. and I have a successful business. So there was no job that we were vying for. It was just an improvisational television show. His qualities for that are fabulous. You know, he's capricious. He's volatile. He's irresponsible. He's unpredictable. Those are qualities you want on an improvisational television show. They're the best qualities possible to work with. As president, they're very, very bad.
Yeah.
I'll put this another way. You know, Teller is the person I respect most in the world.
Yeah.
There's never been a better magical mind than Teller's. He's a wonderful performer. He's a perfect human being, and he never makes mistakes. If he were running for president, I would do everything I could do to stop him. I mean, Ronald Reagan is, I guess, an important exception. But for the most part, entertainers should not be in politics.
Right.
Different skill set. What I want in a politician is someone who is honest and a grown-up and has experience. So I'm behind Gary Johnson, who was, two-time governor of New Mexico.
Yeah.
So I don't feel your burn, but I'd like you to feel my Johnson.
God, I miss you.
and my Johnson.
And somebody questioned you. I was doing reading online, and they're like, you're going to just waste your vote if you vote the Libertarian Party with Gary Johnson. That is not true, in your opinion, is it?
Well, there's another way to put that, which is, I consider you wasting your vote if you don't do what I want. It's a very offensive thing to say. My feeling would be if you're voting for Hillary Clinton, you're throwing away your vote that could go to Gary Johnson. It's very, very important that we get out of this two-party system. And to his credit, Donald Trump is doing a wonderful job destroying the Republican Party.
Yes, he is.
But that should be an important party. That should be the party of smaller government. It should be the party of fiscal responsibility, individual responsibility. And it simply is not now. It's the party of a clown. And I say that as someone who went to clown college. So really, you know, Gary Johnson's success is far greater than anybody else's. Last time he ran, he was at 1%. Now he's at 12%. And all I would say to people is, if we can push him to 15%, don't you want to see a grown-up who actually cares about the country and not just himself or herself talking during the debates? Wouldn't that be wonderful?
It would be great to see him at the debate. So what does he need, just a couple more percent?
Yeah, he needs 15%. And the conversation I want to hear, the conversation I desperately want to hear, is the conversation between Bernie Sanders and Gary Johnson. And I want to hear Bernie Sanders explain that he thinks that the government should be a very strong safety net, and there's stuff that we can do together to help other people, and there's infrastructure that has to be done, and we have to do that with taxes that go into a central government and take care of people. And then I want to hear Gary Johnson say a lot of those people can be cared for by the private sector and by charity, and we need individual responsibility, and we need more power in each individual. And I want the two of them to make their cases, two people who think about it and care about it. And I want the American people to listen and go, you know, let's try this now or let's try that now. And I will take that. I will, even though I'm libertarian, I would take a more socialist point of view if that's what we're really getting. But two power-hungry megalomaniacs with mental health issues fighting for who has the most power is not what I want to see. And I want to say, in fairness to Hillary, that she may be wrong, but she's at least wrong within the rules. Donald Trump is a train that is going across a field that no longer has tracks.
Wow. Penn Jillette, beautiful. The book is called Presto, How I Made Over 100 Pounds Disappear and Other Magical Tales. Go see him at the Anderson's Bookshop in LaGrange. This Saturday, 4 p.m., I'm going to pop by and say hi. Great to talk to you, Penn.
I look forward to seeing you again.
Take care, Penn. Thanks so much. Penn Jillette, everybody. Again, that book, Presto. We'll take a quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Nice to talk to Penn Jillette. He lost to George Stephanopoulos.
He lost 100 pounds.
I know. And
that's a bunch of weight.
I was watching some reports and doctors were saying just eating potatoes is very bad for you. You shouldn't do it. And Penn's response to that was, it's 2 weeks. He did it for 2 weeks,
right,
just to kind of reset his taste buds. You heard him say the first time he had corn after that. Imagine, like, the delight in having something other than just a baked,
sure,
potato.
Of course.
Damon did it for years, right, on Mars?
Yeah, for yeah, he was on Mars.
You weigh less on Mars anyway.
It's true.
He didn't even have to do it.
It's difficult, and he's in good shape.
We're making reference to The Martian, by the way, for the people not getting it.
Of course. Do you remember several years ago, we had Penn Jillette. We were working a morning show at another station, and Penn is a very, very tall man. Is he
6'7", he said.
6'7", yeah. So he came in, and he was wearing sunglasses at the time, so he didn't see that above him was a giant speaker.
Oh, my God.
And he walked headfirst into the speaker, and it almost knocked him out.
I do remember that.
He was woozy from it.
But I mean, full blast right into it.
I've never seen anybody just take a header like that, but he did. And we even said, should we wait a little while? No, I want to do the interview and stuff. But you could see he was like ready to just almost black out at any point during the interview.
How do you remember all these things we did in the past?
Oh, yeah.
I only have short-term memory. What happened short-term memory just now. You always bring these things up, and I'm like,
but then you remember them eventually.
Yeah, this one I do. I mean, and he was walking because he was always like walking really quickly,
right,
and he was just always on the move and full of energy and just boom, right,
yeah,
in the forehead.
Yeah, he took a really hard hit. And then, not that night, but the next night, we went to see his show, you and I, with a bunch of listeners. We had a contest
at the Chicago Theater.
At the Chicago Theater. And do you remember how he referred to us several times during the show? He introduced us and then several times again made reference to the fact that we were there. He said, you know who it's great to have here? At the time, we were working at Q101. And he said, the morning show's hosts from Q101, Wendy and Kevin, are here. I just want to say hello to Wendy and Kevin. And then later on in the show, he again mentioned Wendy and Kevin. He did some joke that didn't go really well, and he looked out in the audience and he said, are Wendy and Kevin laughing? I just want to make sure they're laughing. And then at the end again, he thanked Wendy and Kevin for coming out.
Wendy and Kevin had some great years on Q101.
Thank you, Ryan.
I got to tell you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I just know, I think it's a jealousy thing, because he knew me from my old radio partner, Tony Fitzpatrick, because
right,
they're very good friends.
Yeah.
And I think he was like, you're the guy who broke me and Tony up, which is totally not true, but it's kind of like, you know, you're the new boyfriend.
Up for his friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And Tony's
maybe
brother,
it was Kevin.
Tony's
been
brother's
Kevin.
Name is Kevin.
Oh.
So maybe.
You just solved one.
See,
I
wanted to be a psychologist. I swear to God.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a PE teacher or a psychologist.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm on the radio, but I wanted to do that
this
as well.
This is like psychology a little bit.
Anything like a PE teacher?
No, not really, but the psychology part is certainly there.
I do have a lot of rope burns for
do
some
you have
reason.
Rope burns,
yes.
Ryan? That's
yeah.
not right. Something's wrong. All right, we'll take a quick break. Ryan has the news and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points. Dean.
He is. He's Dean Richards, and he's here to talk about movies. And Dean, before we get to today's big film, and this is one of the most highly anticipated movies of the year, I want to share a moment with you. I went to see the newest Star Trek movie about a week ago, a little over a week ago.
Beyond?
Yes, Star Trek Beyond. And before the movie, and I know you get to see mostly screenings. I don't know how many films you see in regular theaters now, but I always enjoyed the coming attractions. That's a big deal for me. I love that. I love seeing, you know, little 3-minute clips of what's coming.
The trailers.
Yeah, the trailers.
As they're known in
the business.
The business.
The coming attractions.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Yep, the coming attractions.
Old school.
So I wish they showed that.
They should still show that. All right. So before Star Trek Beyond, they showed 6 trailers for upcoming films.
Right.
4 of them were just guys punching other guys and shooting at other guys.
Right.
There was one with Matt Damon. It's for the Jason Bourne movie that's out now. There was one with Vin Diesel. There was one with a guy I never heard of from some other country. I'm trying to remember who the 4th one was. I think Jason Statham or something. But there was no discernible plot at all. Just a guy punching other guys and then chasing them in the car and then shooting them.
That's all you need is violence. Who needs more than that? That's what Shakespeare. If Shakespeare could have written more machine gun and disembowelment movie plays,
right?
He would have. Midsummer Night's Dream would have been completely different. You know, it's interesting and ironic and good for actor Tyson Beckford. You know who that is?
Yeah.
Extremely handsome African American actor. Called out Matt Damon, saying that, you know, in his private life, he is, you know, calling for gun control. He's calling, you know, he's got one position about gun ownership that it should be different, but makes millions of dollars in these shoot 'em up movies that he makes. And I think he makes a very good point.
Yeah.
That Tyson Beckford makes a very good point that a lot of these Hollywood guys, you know, Matt Damon's position on guns, he's not trying to take away any guns. He's not for abolishing the Second Amendment or anything like that, but he is for sensible gun control. But it is a little bit ironic that, you know, in his real life, he's sort of, you know, anti-gun. But, you know, Jason Bourne sure has no problem with pulling one out of his underpants every 5 minutes.
Is that a gun in your underpants?
Sure it is. Of course it is.
It's my assault weapon, baby.
Oh, God.
Do you remember the story? Do you remember the story, Gene, a couple of years ago? This movie company said that when they're making up posters for movies, they did this test marketing campaign where with most of their movies, all they needed to do was give a guy or a girl a gun on the movie poster, and they sold twice as many tickets.
Yeah, not surprised. I mean, we are a gun-loving culture. There's no question about it. I mean, a lot of people have said that Americans love their guns.
Yeah.
They love their gun-toting movies. They love their explosions. They're, you know, mowing people down.
Car chases.
With guns. They people
look at Woody
love
and
extremely
Toy Story.
Violent movies.
Buzz Lightyear had a laser gun.
Yes.
We were trying to think of, you know, the most successful movies of all time. And the very, very few of them that did not have really quite a bit of gun violence in them.
Yeah.
There's very few.
How about that? How about that? And then, you know, the other story I wanted to bring up with you, Wendy and I haven't even discussed this. They're remaking Splash, which is interesting because Splash, it's one of those movies that you go, oh, all right, I don't know if it needs to be remade. But
Tom Hanks and Daryl Hannah from 84, I think.
John Candy.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Really great movie.
Really good movie.
Right.
But now they're doing a kind of a reversal on it, right?
It's a merman.
It is a merman. Channing. Why don't they get Ethel Merman to be in it?
Everything's coming up merman.
Yeah. Everything's coming up slimy. That would be the song she'd sing.
Great things coming up slimy. Channing Tatum now will be the merman.
I am so sick of him. Put a shirt on and go home.
I think many people would disagree with you on that. Put a shirt on part of your sons.
He's not.
Wendy,
just...
I don't want, like, going into the Channing Tatum era, I was saying to myself, oh, this is just a big, handsome, muscle head guy. This can't be good. But he always surprises me in how good
deliver,
he is.
He does deliver, I guess. But put your shirt on. I'm just sick of looking at it.
He thinks he's Putin.
That's right. He should do a Putin movie.
Yeah.
He should.
Yeah.
Should do a Putin movie. So if that's the if he plays Putin, and and certainly he should, who plays Donald Trump in the movie? Other than Donald Trump. He can't be Donald Trump. Who else would take that role?
That's tough. Well, Meryl Streep's name comes to mind immediately. She's great.
She's already played him.
She did, actually, right? In a short film.
She did a little spoof thing.
Yeah. All right. So if Channing Tatum plays the Daryl Hannah part, who plays the Tom Hanks part?
Her name is Jillian Bell. She was in a bunch of TV shows. Probably the place that you'd recognize her most, she's one of the cubicle mates on the show Workaholics.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe her any more than that. It's kind of a plain Jane co-worker of the main characters in Workaholics. She was co-starred with Channing Tatum in 22 Jump Street.
Oh, I know who that is. All right. She's good.
That came out. Yeah. So that's supposed to be the story. Ron Howard, who directed the first Splash, is going to produce this one with his producing partner, Brian Grazer.
Mm-hmm.
And
is he a merman, too?
I think they're all.
He looks like a porcupine, doesn't he?
He does. He does a little bit.
Yeah, he does.
He's got the spiky hair that someone needs to tell him it's not 1992 anymore. Right.
And if he feels threatened, like a porcupine, he can shoot them out like quills. Right. Did you know that?
I'm so jealous of anybody with hair. I don't. You give me anyone, and I'll tell you what's wrong with their hair, because I don't have any.
And when can we look for the remake of Splash? Is it soon? Don't be bitter. It'll be fine. You don't need it. You're fine.
I'm so hair bitter.
Come on.
They have not announced a date on this yet.
All right.
Can I interrupt our broadcast for just a moment?
Sure.
Just seated next to me a moment ago is the one, the only.
Yeah.
Anna Balalova.
Oh,
please. You're all doing it now. You're just so rude to her.
Wendy says that we're all rude to you.
You are all rude to me.
Her name is Anna Belova.
Oh, now you know how to say it. After I always did. Days with her.
Now we're BFFs.
We are BFFs.
Good. Good. Be careful. All right. We need to take a quick break.
When you start throwing Fs in, you got
to
be careful.
Then you have to be careful. It's us. It's Bill. It's Wendy. It's Dean.
Are you okay?
And, yeah. I'm starting
right?
to cry.
Somebody give him the Heimlich.
I'm starting to cry.
I'm Heimlich.
I'm fine. I get nervous when blah, 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 comes by. All right. More after this. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We're talking with Dean Richards and
Chicago's other good hands.
When is that other? I do like to moisturize.
Yes.
When is the your Hometown Voices date again?
2 weeks from tomorrow.
August 19.
August 19.
Are you coming out?
I would like to.
That would be fantastic.
I would like to do that.
All right.
Please
we
do.
I love that.
I don't have to golf, though, right?
No, I don't golf. None of us golf.
All right. Wendy and I will be in the bar.
All right. Please come out.
If you're looking for us, we'll be in the bar.
All right. That's fine. All right, Dean, this movie, Suicide Squad, highly anticipated, as I keep mentioning. I couldn't wait to see this movie, but I'm getting feelings there could be some problems.
Yeah,
huh?
Suicide has become the key word because that's how people... when they leave the theater.
Oh, no.
I shouldn't even make fun of that, and I'm sorry that I did.
All right.
But it's, it's a hugely disappointing movie. I was so looking forward to this.
Wasn't everybody?
As well, I think everybody sort of was, because of the success of The Avengers, and there have been so many, like, really, really good, the superhero movies lately with Captain America and so forth, and everyone's looking forward to Justice League the same way. And, you know, why not look forward to this? I actually was more of a DC Comics kid than I was a Marvel Comics
kid.
Yeah. So, you know, I was very familiar with the mythology on this. This team of anti-superheroes, not even superheroes, but...
Bad guys.
Anti-heroes, bad guys.
Yeah.
That are brought together very begrudgingly. Because if they don't participate in this caper, they will die. And they're put together by sort of, if we're going to compare it to the Avengers, sort of the ringleader, the authority, is played by Viola Davis, who's kind of overseeing them all. And it's Will Smith, and it's Margot Robbie, Joel Kinnaman is one of them, Cara Delevingne, Jay Hernandez. There are about 10 of them. There's a long list of them, really way too many, which is part of the problem. And also Jared Leto as the Joker. And I'll say, even though I was disappointed in the film, I did like many of these performances quite a bit. Margot Robbie is quite good.
Harley Quinn?
As Harley Quinn in the film, exactly. And Jared Leto as the Joker is pretty close to me as a Jack Nicholson or a Heath Ledger in this.
Wow.
There's this diabolical, creepy nature that you want in your Joker, but the only problem is he's barely in the movie.
Yeah.
It's one of the big disappointments is he's barely in the movie. Everybody else is okay, but as I say, there are so many of them that they kind of dilute each other. Viola Davis is unexpectedly good because you expect her to be like Samuel L. Jackson, and there's a little bit of a twist to her character. But so the cast almost sort of negates itself. That's one of the problems. Another of the problems is this extremely poorly written script that just cannot get its arms around the excitement of having so many people and so many interesting characters with varied skills and, you know, talents, all for bad, in this movie. They just cannot do it as well as Marvel Comics does. They just, Marvel knows how to put these movies together in a way that the director of this film and also the writer of the film, David Ayers, of Fury fame and some other great films, just not his genre, I don't think. And the other problem that I had with it was its lack of originality in style.
Hmm.
There really is nothing special about this film. Nothing, no oh wow moments where you go, we haven't never seen anything like that in this movie before. There are actually more than one occasions in this movie that it looked like they took some leftover footage from Ghostbusters and put it in this movie with these bad guys are not fighting other humans for the most part. They're fighting paranormal spirits, very Ghostbusters like.
Yeah.
There's this, you know, sort of tornado, a funnel cloud of evil that's, you know, sort of the crescendo of the film. It's not a spoiler alert, it's just a visual, but it looks exactly like that funnel cloud that you saw in the Ghostbusters movie. So this lack of originality, one disappointment after another. As I say, the only good things that that I left this movie with were a few good performances that were kind of squandered and a whole lot of disappointment. So I'm sorry to say that Suicide Squad is, you know, maybe it's that we were all looking forward to this so much. It had nothing to do but fail when the expectations were so high. But I think the problem here really is more the content of the film more than expectations going into it. So C-minus for me.
Oh, no.
That's what I'm afraid.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
This is one, you know, when we were talking about trailers or coming attractions earlier, this the trailer for this was so tight, and you just said to yourself, well, this can't miss. It's all kinds of action, and then every time they do something, they say something cute and pithy, and I like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Pithy's your middle name.
My middle name is Pithy. Bill Pithy left.
There was not enough pithy, not enough. You know how especially the Iron Man movies with Robert Downey have that sort of, you know, part of the entertainment are his pithy, if you will, comments off to the side.
And Deadpool too, Dean. That
I was just going to say that.
That was marvelous.
That's Deadpool, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Deadpool maybe more than any of the rest of them.
Yeah.
That managed all the excitement, the mythology of the character, and was sort of like a wink wink to everybody else watching the movie that they just didn't take it very seriously. It just doesn't work in Suicide Squad.
Oh, that's so sad.
In my opinion.
You know, the other thing with Deadpool is they took Ryan Reynolds, who had tried to do a superhero movie, Green Lantern, a few years earlier, and it was just abysmal. But they gave him a second chance with Deadpool, and he really showed that if the writing's on par, that it can really be great.
Yeah, even spoofed his previous attempt.
Yeah, that was great.
I really
love that movie.
It says something about Ryan Reynolds that, you know, that he's, you know, man enough to have been, realized how that it was kind of important for him to do that. I had a whole new respect for him that he didn't mind making fun of himself. So that's a disappointment. The new Cirque du Soleil show, Turek, opened last night, which is a mess. And
oh, no.
I have to say is the worst Cirque du Soleil show that I've ever seen.
Did you say T-Rex? There's
no,
a T-Rex.
No, it's actually Taroque.
Taroque, is that how they say it?
Yeah. Correct pronunciation. Taroque, the first flight. That's based on James Cameron's Avatar movie. So it's the whole thing's got a very Avatar theme to it that I don't think translates very well to a live arena show. Call me crazy, but a show
crazy.
That is
seems crazy.
That is mostly mostly in the Avatar language of Na'vi, which I was going to take in high school, but I didn't.
The class was filled?
Spanish instead of Na'vi, so I didn't understand a lot of the dialogue in the show last night. There is a narrator to try to help you walk through it, but it doesn't come close to the originality of any Cirque du Soleil show that I've seen before, so that's also a huge disappointment.
Dean, you've told us about a bad movie and a horrible stage show. Is there a horrendous restaurant you can recommend and make the weekend complete for us?
A trilogy. Yes. Dean Richards trilogy. Yes. Let's see if I've been to an awful restaurant.
No, don't say it.
Let me see. What
don't
do
say
I
it.
Close? Which restaurant do we want to close?
No, don't do it.
Before the
don't
weekend's
do it.
Over. Now, you know what? I'll tell you about a movie that I really did like.
What's that?
It is a documentary on the life of the great Norman Lear. If this movie doesn't have Bill Leff written all over it, I don't know what does.
Where is this playing? I would love to see this.
Only
Dean's house.
Only that's all right.
It's in my basement.
I'll come by.
It's at the Music Box Theater. It opens tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's called Just Another Version of You, and it's the story of Norman Lear's life. Growing up, a troubled, kind of a troubled youth whose father left him at an early age.
He was in jail.
His father, who was used to say to his mother all the time, stifle, was, you know, the
Archie Bunker thing.
Very much based on who Archie Bunker became on television. But it's a story about his life. It's the story about the creation of these amazing shows that literally revolutionized television. All in the Family, Jefferson's, Good Times, Mary Hartman.
Yeah,
The list Maude,
Jefferson.
The list goes on and on of amazing shows, and it's a very interesting, very touching and emotional look at Norman Lear's life.
I gotta see
it. This one I cannot recommend enough.
Oh, good.
Only at one theater though in Chicago. It's only at the Music Box on North Southport.
Talk me into it. I read the book, his autobiography a couple months ago, and that was magnificent. So yeah, I'm anxious to see the movie.
I think they did a really nice job.
Good.
Of bringing his story to life.
Good.
In this movie.
Dean, thanks so much. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Have a piffy weekend.
I promise we will.
Thank you, Dean.
It's Dean Richards. Stick around. We'll find out what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Launch. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right, everybody. It's part two of our Thursday edition of Bill and Wendy.
Boogie down now.
We will boogie down for the next 2 hours. There will be some boogieing down.
Have you ever boogied?
I've never boogied, no. I don't want to throw out my back. Very careful. We're 312-981-7200. By the way, when we attend Kevin's wedding, don't expect to see me dancing because I won't.
I don't care.
I'm not going to dance. You can't make me dance.
No Bill. One is going to make you dance. Why?
What, Kevin?
It's in the contract.
Kevin sent me a contract that my attorneys are still looking over that says that for me to attend, I must dance. I'm not going to dance.
Have you ever danced with Terry?
Yeah, we've danced. It's not been pretty. She's a pretty good dancer, but I'm not I don't subscribe to it. I don't understand why people dance. I mean, if I was great at it, I'd dance all the time. I would dance all day long, I would, but I'm not good at it.
You don't feel the music?
Not really, no. 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 I don't know why I'm lacking that gene for some reason.
Again, I wanted to be a psychologist.
Psychologist?
I don't.
That's quite a hook. Who wouldn't want to visit their dancing psychologist?
They would need the hook to pull me off the stage.
I know.
If you want to lay on the couch for a moment, you're afraid to do something that makes you look silly, yet you're silly all the time.
It's not. It has nothing to do with
I don't believe you.
Looking silly, because I guarantee you, should I ever dance, I would look very silly. But I derive no pleasure from it at all. Zero. Like when I'm forced to dance, when I'm in
who forces you? Be honest.
There have been a couple of mostly wedding situations. I'm trying to think of any that have not been weddings. Well, even when there were school dances, my mom was a dance teacher. So a lot of girls assumed, well, if his mom's a dance teacher, he must be able to dance or at least want to dance. And I didn't want to dance, and it's just not me. Dancing is like walking, but there's no progress being made.
I'm not
you know
a
what
big,
I mean?
Yes, and I, you know what? I'm not a good dancer, and there were some times in my life where it's like I didn't feel comfortable dancing, so I didn't dance. And now it's just like I want to just go out there and have fun. And
right.
If you're having fun, and
but that's what I'm missing is that part of it. Every time I've danced, all I've thought about is, I know there's still 4 minutes and 11 seconds in this song. I wish they would play it faster. I just wish the song would end so I don't have to dance anymore.
But don't you get bored when everybody's out there dancing and having fun and you're just standing there or sitting there?
He makes
there?
Fun of all the people dancing.
I do make fun of everybody, Kim. And that's fun for me. I'm more, I like conversing with people and talking to people. So there's always, at any function where there is dancing, there's other people like myself who don't dance, and we find each other and we commiserate, you know? I wish I liked it, but I don't.
And I know there's a lot of pressure, like, come on,
yeah,
come and dance.
There's a lot of that.
But that shouldn't be like that. That's like people that come up to you with a puppy and say, pet my dog.
Right.
Touch my monkey.
That's exactly what it's like. We all like doing it, so you should like it too. You know, there's a lot of element of that. Bless you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I'm going to bring to Kevin's wedding and reception, instead of dancing, I'm going to bring a coloring book. And I'm just going to color. I'll enjoy that more.
Is Terry, is she going to, like, she goes solo then?
No, she'll probably meet some guys. You know how she is.
Come on.
Yep.
Just move it.
I'm not going to. You can't make me dance.
Remember this song?
Yes. This is why I don't like dancing, because of this kind
of
music.
Because of Leo Sayer?
Well, yeah. The one that you see at weddings that looks like a train. What is
conga
that?
Conga line.
Yeah, the conga line. What's with that?
I don't participate in that.
But you've been at weddings where that happens, and everyone's got that fake look. Like, we think we're having fun, but we don't know why we are. But we think we are.
I just want to hear the hook here.
Oh, here it comes.
I want to dance the night away. Come on, Bill.
No.
Come on.
I won't. Nope.
The just conga sway line. Back and forth. Come on, Bill. You can
I
do
I can
it.
Sway back and forth. Like, if instead of dancing, in all honesty, instead of dancing, if at Kevin's reception they just had people on a floor just swaying back and forth, I'd be talked into that. I could sway back and forth for a while. And I'd cut in.
Will people be doing
may
that?
I sway with your date?
Swaying back and
are
forth.
Are we like going to do the wave at your wedding?
Oh, that's a good idea.
I would
no,
like
it
to
isn't.
Sway with your wife. Can
it's
I
like
just
at a concert, he'll hold up his phone, you know, just go back and forth.
Yeah, that would be fun. I wouldn't mind that.
Hey, Joe, do you agree with Bill?
Absolutely, 100%. Bill, dancing is a spectator sport. If somebody is not watching, then what's the point of the people
right.
dancing?
So
you
I agree.
Are just a spectator. Yeah, absolutely.
Are you a good dancer, Joe?
Oh, not a chance.
But here's what you're leaving out. When you asked Joe, or you asked me earlier that question, if you're a good dancer, for those of us that don't enjoy it, that doesn't even enter into it. Joe and I could be the finest dancers in America, but the fact that we don't like it, that's like that.
If you were good, you would like it. I know you guys. Joe, I don't know you that well.
If I were good at it, I would like it. I would do it because I feel the music. I can do that. And my hips do not swing, period. It doesn't happen. There's some ball bearings that are missing. I don't know what's going on with me.
I just, you know, I'm not a good dancer, but at some point you come to a point in your life where you just go,
you
I don't
care anymore. Right.
I don't care. Go ahead and laugh at me, Bill. I know you'll be laughing at me.
I will.
My
I
husband's will. A really good dancer.
Is he really?
He is.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't care what people think.
Right.
And honestly, when you lose that thing where you just say, I don't care,
right.
I'm just out to have fun,
yeah.
That's when people look at you and go, wow, you're a good dancer, because you're just having fun.
Right. Well, then you should dance. If it brings you joy, by all means, go out there and dance. But Joe and I will be on the sides making fun of you while you're dancing.
That's all right.
All right.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
He's got some ball bearings problems.
That sounds like a serious issue. All right. Remember the Seinfeld episode where Elaine Benes had that dance where she would, like, put her thumbs
yes.
out like she was hitchhiking? When I'm at a function like a wedding, That's all I see. I look out on the floor and I see a bunch of people doing not necessarily that particular dance, but versions of that dance.
But that's not fair to judge other people that are having fun. You're just jealous. You can't have fun.
It's not jealousy, though. It's apathy. It's like there should be another, like at a wedding, there should be an alternative thing that everyone's doing.
Like hopscotch?
Yeah, if there was hopscotch, that'd be better. Kevin, consider that.
Hopscotch?
We'd now like to open the floor to the bride and groom for their first hopscotch.
I bet he doesn't even know what that is because we're
hopscotch?
Old.
Hopscotch? I know what it is. Oh, okay, you like good. Do the thing and you jump down the way.
Yep. 1, 2, 3, then 4 and 5 are together. You go to sky blue
sky
at the
blue
top.
Sky blue at the end, yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's then, a little more detail I had, but.
God, the fun old days of hopscotch.
Sure, I know.
All right, what if Terry wants to dance? Will she just dance?
Oh, she'll want to dance.
With someone else?
Yeah.
And you don't care?
No, I'm fine with that.
It's usually
even
another girl.
Even a slow
girl.
Dance, though?
Oh.
I'll slow dance with Terry.
All right. That's fine.
You do slow dance,
come on,
don't
Bill.
You?
At our wedding, the dances that I did, at my own wedding, with Terry's at my wedding, the ones that I did dance on were the slow dances, because that makes more sense, because you get to hold somebody you love tightly and not move much. I just don't understand, like, whoever invented it, I don't know how they sold that to the world. Here's what we're going to do. We're just going to shake. It just seems like there should be more to it, doesn't
See,
it?
See, I don't think it was, like, ever invented. It's just thing.
It happened.
People
something,
just did it because
like,
they had to go to the bathroom.
But you look at all the cultures, there's always music and art and dancing and
yes.
food and, you know,
yeah.
it's something people are supposed to do.
I will agree it is hard to coordinate. Like, I can chair dance really well,
yeah.
but it's hard to coordinate your feet to do what your upper body's doing.
Right.
That's just experience and drinking, because then you don't care.
Well, I just focus on one at a time, so I either move the bottom half only or the top half only.
I can't wait to see your first dance.
Won't that be worth the price of admission?
Matt Bubala just texted him and said, you know, that...
He said he was switching the station.
He did? Yeah.
Matt Bubala was not invited because it's a, you know, you got to cut the limit.
Right.
But he thinks he should go instead of you because he will dance.
I'll swap my ticket out during the dancing portion
ticket.
Of the reception.
A ticket.
I'll let Matt fill in for me. Are there substitutions, Kevin, at
we
your reception?
We can call it to the bullpen for you.
A pinch
yeah.
dancer.
Right.
I like
right.
that.
That's got a future. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we have more to discuss. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Remember this Leo Sayer song?
Yeah, I kind of do. I couldn't tell you what it's called, but I do remember the song.
Long tall glasses of wine up to y'all.
Is that the title of the song?
Long tall glasses.
Oh, it is? Yeah? Oh.
You know I can dance.
There hasn't been the Leo Sayer kind of resurgence that we all expected.
You're right. And why did he only sing about dancing?
He did only seem to sing about dancing, didn't he? Yeah.
Here we go.
He looked like Kenny G's little brother.
Yeah, didn't and he? Doug Henning.
Yeah, he looked like, yeah. Yeah, most of his songs did involve the fact that he wanted to let you know that he was able to dance.
Somebody wants to know, we were talking about dancing or Bill's lack thereof.
Yep.
Will Bill do the chicken dance
no.
at Kevin's wedding?
Oh, no.
Will Kevin have the chicken dance, I doubt.
Oh, no.
Kevin, don't do it. You're not having it? Good.
What about the electric slide?
I hope not.
Now, does that really, be honest with me, if you're at a wedding and you see those, does that bring joy to you when you see that?
Not that one, but it brings people out on the dance floor,
yeah,
that's
for sure.
Yeah,
it does, doesn't it?
So, Kevin, in the Greek culture, do they do, like, you know, dancing, like, at a Jewish wedding where you do the horror, you people... Put people up on chairs. Bill, would you do something like that?
No.
It's really fun.
Do you enjoy that?
Oh, yeah. That's glass.
You break a glass.
Yeah.
I've been to a Greek wedding.
Well, Sarah's Turkish, which is right there. But they do actually have some stuff like that. And we will be playing some traditional
I hope so.
Turkish party songs.
I will dance. If it's traditional Turkish, I will dance.
I'm going to hold you to that. I'm serious. I'm going to get you out there.
The Italians have the tarantella.
Yeah, I invented a dance called the Turkish taffy that I do. Wait till you see it.
You just stand there.
You will need video of that.
People wrap you up in foil.
Yeah.
It's really not that exciting.
That's how it ends.
And then they crack you on a table.
I always get hurt when I do it, but I feel like I've accomplished something.
I told you my my sister-in-law Sheila McInerney married Jimmy Karampolis.
Yeah.
No, that's not who it was. Katsifaras.
Yeah, Jimmy Katsifaras. Yeah,
I'm confusing it with Jimmy Karampolis, who was their neighbor.
Oh,
and the Greek dance between the dad and Jimmy and the cousins and the brothers—it's like totally Zorba the Greek. They're getting down
right.
low. They put a dollar bill on your forehead. It's,
see, but I'm like
fun.
That kind of thing. That becomes like a show.
That's an event
that I like to see. I just don't want to participate in it.
You'd look so silly if you participated with the family.
Who's this guy? What's he doing?
you just want money,
right? How was the wedding? I don't know. I left with $620. I don't care.
Macarena, is that going to happen?
Not for me. Are they doing it at the wedding? There won't
That's a traditional Turkish dance, yeah. No, I'm just kidding. No Macarena.
The Mediterranean Macarena.
All right, this is pretty great. My niece got married in Monroe, Wisconsin, and they had a bowling alley in the hall's basement.
I would love that.
That would be a great wedding.
Because there comes a time at the reception where if you don't dance, which I don't, and you don't drink, which I don't.
Yes, you do.
I'll have a drink. Kevin, I'm going to have a drink but I'm not going to get looped.
Well, not everybody gets looped when they drink.
Not everybody, but have you been to a wedding where at least one guy doesn't? A lot of people
You're
do.
You're usually the guy.
I can confirm there will be looped individuals
There will
at the
be
wedding.
Looped people.
I'm quite sure
I was looped when I walked into my wedding.
I know you were. I remember.
I tried not to be, but everybody kept saying, enjoy your day, and I did.
And you did. But you know what I mean? Like, if the two things that almost everybody there are doing, which is drinking and dancing, if you're not in on that, you
Why
start
are you
to go.
Coming?
Oh, I got a slide presentation I'm showing everybody. I wrote a story about Kevin and Sarah that I'm going to show.
Yeah, and you keep telling me there's going to be like different songs or yeah. other types of performances that. So
you
you're
made
gonna
them a mixtape. Point.
Yeah,
PowerPoint?
I did a mixtape and a slide presentation. It's going to be beautiful.
Can't wait. Who has time to dance?
I got a crazy monkey coming in dressed like a fireman. It's going to be a blast.
He's going to ruin your wedding. You know that.
All right, a quick break. News is next, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I am chair dancing so amazingly.
I see. I'm watching you. It's pretty good. bless you. It turns out, Wendy, that Ozzy Osbourne, who was a member of Black Sabbath, the front man for Black Sabbath, and then had a series of his own reality shows. It turns out that Ozzy Osbourne is a sex addict. Did you know that?
I got to tell you something. Maybe I'm a prude, okay?
Mm-hmm. But?
I think when you say you're a sex addict, it's a cop-out. And I mean, sex is fun. It's supposed to be.
But he thinks about it all the time.
Don't most
He's
men?
Always... Yes. So Ozzy Osbourne should have said, I and all other men are sex addicts.
But I like pizza. I'm, you know.
That doesn't make you a sex addict.
No, but it doesn't make me a pizza addict either.
Right. I know.
I just think that, is there such a thing?
Well, he's trying to.
Do you have to be with other people? If you're a sex addict, can't you excuse yourself for a while and come back?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a very
good
question.
If you're just trying to get to the, you know, ending.
Right.
Just excuse yourself and
yep.
boom, took care of my addiction myself.
Right. Although now that he's announced that he's a sex addict, anytime he leaves a room for any reason, people go, all right, we'll see him in 3 minutes and 20 seconds.
Sharon?
Sharon Osbourne, as you know, his wife
is not a sex addict.
Well, she's not a sex addict, but she's one of the co-hosts on The Talk. That's the show that is The View, but without the women from The View on it. Have you ever seen The Talk?
I got to be honest with you. I haven't seen any of them.
It's the same thing. What they do is they'll get five ladies and they'll sit them around a table and they'll say, when I say go, I want everybody to talk at the same time. And then they do. They bring up a topic and then everybody talks. So on The Talk yesterday, they address this because it's been a big story in the news. He had an affair with a woman.
A hairdresser,
yeah.
He's got great hair.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
He's got long hair.
He does have long hair. So this is a story that's been in the news for several months. She potentially could have broken up the Osbourne family, but after a little separation, it was decided by the Osbournes that they were going to do their best to get back together. And Ozzy apparently has been in counseling for 3 months to try to help him deal with his his sex addiction. So
$10 says he and the therapist.
Oh, no. Do you think? No.
Where do you think he's going all the time? He's an addict.
No. All right. So here is yesterday. They were bringing up the topic with Sharon Osbourne there at the table, of course, because she's one of the moderators of Ozzy's sex addiction. And she got very emotional. Listen.
She's been more than generous enough to share some of her private struggle with us here at this table. Well, in the new People magazine, Ozzy's rep reveals that Ozzy is undergoing intense therapy for sex addiction. The rep adds, quote, Ozzy is mortified at what his behavior has done to his family. He thanks God that his incredible wife, Sharon, is at his side to support him. Now,
I'm not sure what they're applauding there. Are you?
That she's sticking with him.
Is that what it is?
You
okay.
And I have spoken about how people who beat one severe addiction can often fall prey to another. They beat drug and alcohol addiction, and then they can fall into another kind of behavioral addiction. So tell us what's going on.
And she's starting to cry with what's going on.
Because she's listening to this going, I can't believe this is my life.
Right, right.
And if you don't want to talk about it, you really don't have to say anything if you don't want to.
He's been going outpatient for sex addiction for the last 3 months. And after the tour, because he's
the
starting
tour.
His summer tour with Black Sabbath, after the tour, he goes into inpatient for 3 months.
Whoa.
And he's working at it. It's hard because it affects the whole family. Mm-hmm. And it's quite embarrassing to talk about. Somehow drugs and drink is more acceptable, I think. But when it's somebody that has a sex addiction, it's embarrassing. And I'm proud that he's come out and admitted it finally.
It is hard.
You know, it's very, very hard. You know,
she keeps saying that.
I told you.
Yeah.
Every person that comes in the room, you think, don't come in.
Don't say
here.
That.
You know, it's like, oh.
Wow.
He's, you know, I think he should call Tiger Woods for some advice.
Wow. You threw him under the tour bus. all right, stop it there for a second.
She did a great job
she
with it, though.
She did do a great job.
It is
job.
Embarrassing, and we aren't as accepting of that.
All right, here's one of the points that I would like to bring up in this.
Don't say point.
Let's say your husband, in this case, Ozzy Osbourne, is battling a sex addiction. Would you think that the safest place for him right now would be to be on tour with Black Sabbath? I don't know that that's the best place to keep him right now. I would actually, I'd put him almost anywhere else than there.
Yeah, and tour is kind of probably.
Well, this is the bigger question is if you marry somebody who's the front man for a rock band, and by all means, I don't mean this to
oh,
represent
how I wished.
All. I don't mean for this to represent all singers of all rock bands, but don't you assume probably there's a lot of temptation.
There's a lot of temptation, but I, of course, wouldn't expect my rock star husband to act. There's temptation anywhere you go.
Do you remember the story with Eddie Van Halen and Valerie Bertinelli where she said they had a talk about the fact that he was Eddie Van Halen and he was on the road all the time?
And he's
and
Eddie
said,
Van Halen.
And he's Eddie Van Halen. So she would say to him, when you're on the road, you're not, I mean, you're not, there's not other, no, I have you. What would I need that for on the road? And then at some point he came forth and said, hey, yeah, that didn't really work out for me. I need, when I was on the road traveling, I was seeing other girls and stuff. But I don't know how, if that's what your husband does, forgive me for overgeneralizing, but I would just assume that you know in the back of your head, there's too much temptation out there.
No, because if you marry someone, temptation or not, you would think that they're not going to act on it.
But if
rock star or not, baseball player or not.
Oh, the baseball world is a shambles with this. You know that, right?
I know what I've heard, but I'm sorry. There, you know, that's part of the reason why I would never marry a baseball player or a rock star.
Or a baseball playing rock star, because those guys get twice as much action.
That person I would marry.
Don't you think, though, that if a guy or a girl, because there are also, you know, there's women in rock bands, too. Don't you think if they're used to having that kind of variety and that many opportunities for them to just turn that faucet off just because they got married, I would think that would be near impossible.
Are you kidding me?
No. If you were any top-notch rock star,
then why get
Ozzy
married?
Osbourne, well, you'd have to ask them that. I don't know.
Because if you get married, I like to believe that you believe in the vows that you made.
Even rock stars?
Yes.
I don't think so. I think those guys play by a whole different set of rules. I don't think if those guys could have a
did Pat Benatar cheat on you?
I can't talk about that on the air.
Did she break your heart?
I don't want to talk about it. It's too hard.
I mean, you know the temptation is there, and you know the stories. And
but it's not even it's like it's temptation to the 100th power, because these guys, the ugliest of rock stars, the most hideous looking rock star, sees more action than you and I would ever imagine in 1,000 lifetimes.
If they want it.
Iggy Pop.
I knew you were going to say
Iggy
that.
Pop.
Iggy does look hot on stage.
Iggy Pop.
Anybody looks good on stage. Is that why you did stand up?
Yeah. To get Iggy Pop's overflow.
This is a great question that I would love to throw out there. How come only celebrities are sex addicts? Normal people are just cheaters and then divorced.
That's a good question.
It's a great question.
Yeah. If you think about it, the people that have used the sex addict excuse have all kind of been in the celebrity realm, right?
And isn't that just an excuse for chronic cheating?
I think so. Don't you?
I
when
know.
When you pull that out, if you were in this story and your husband or wife, depending on which character you're playing in this, if they said, hey, look, oh, what you did is terrible. You broke up our family and they wanted to make amends. Then you pull this out and you go, well, what could I do? I'm a sex addict. That's all I'm thinking about.
I mean, there are addictions. I get it. I do.
Right.
Drugs, cigarettes, alcohol.
Right.
I get it. But sex. Ooh. If you're addicted to sex, like I said, excuse yourself.
Right.
It's just an excuse to be with other partners.
I think so. I think he... And I'm surprised, because Sharon Osbourne
very
seems
bright.
Like a very intelligent lady to me. She really does.
She loves him. She's got a family. She's invested time.
But can't... All right. I agree with that. I think that's very, very true. But shouldn't she even say, as the smart woman that she is, look, I'll take you back. I love you. We've got a lot of years together. But I'm not sure about this sex addict excuse. Let's play low on the sex addict excuse. Let's just say
you're an old guy
and all of a sudden this 20-something-year-old woman showed some interest and you fell prey to that. I'm sure he had a lot more to do than just falling prey to that. I'm positive. But couldn't you get through that without buying the fact that he's saying,
yeah.
What can I do? I'm a sex addict. I got no control over this.
That would make me want to forgive
right.
if I was Sharon.
That's
seriously
right. That's better.
It's not an excuse. You're owning it. You're owning the mistake. Joe, we're talking rock star wives.
Here's the clue for you. All men are sex addicts secretly, whether you want to admit it or not. But a lot of these rock stars do actually have agreements with their wives. They find understanding women. And they explain to them that that's true love. They fall in true love with a woman that they want to marry and want to live with for the rest of their lives and love having conversations with and want to raise a family with. But when they're on the road, they want to have fun. And they have to draw the line between sex for fun and sex in a loving relationship. They're two totally different things, and they're not always mutually exclusive.
All right, what wife would agree to that? Honestly, if somebody came right out and said...
millions of dollars in a nice house.
Yeah, there's a lot
of
money.
Where's the love, guys?
The love is there.
Love is when you're cuddling overnight. After when you spend the night in each other's arms cuddling rather than the groupie just comes and goes and leaves right afterwards. That's the difference.
So the love is definitely there, but I think they kind of figured out they're marrying the front man to you name the group, whoever it is. So more than likely, after having a long career of having a woman or more in every city, every night of the tour, that to turn that off would be almost impossible.
Yeah, and the groupies on tours, you know, they know these guys are married. They know they're not going to be the next wife. They're, for them, those guys are just another notch in the lipstick case, as Pat Benatar put it. You know, it's mutually exclusive fun for one evening, and that's it. It has nothing to do with a real loving relationship.
Yeah, but you know,
remember when you dated William Hung and you were like, I don't know, will I be the woman for William Hung? Remember that?
I can make a really bad joke about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know. No, I'm letting you go, Joe. I don't trust you.
We all paused there.
Thank you for calling. That was the best job of self-editing by listener
by
Joe,
everybody.
Him, me, and even yourself,
everybody,
and Kevin.
Everybody stayed away from William Hung's brother's name. We all left that alone. That was great.
I just know that the temptation is there every day. If you wanted to, you're on the radio, you could go say, hey, I'll meet somebody at the Starbucks on Michigan Avenue. You could do that, but you wouldn't. So why does a rock star have to do it? If the temptation's there and you're married and you're in love, you don't take it. If you don't have this wonderful relationship, then you take it.
Don't you think, though, and what you just said is right for the most part. But don't you think that in the pantheon of professions and how that profession could lead to sex,
I get it,
that rock stars and athletes are so, and to some extent politicians,
really?
are so in a different stratosphere than the rest of us. I read a book years ago called Sporting Ladies by Sandy Bando, who is the wife, was the wife, they're no longer together, of Sal Bando, who played for the Oakland A's and the Milwaukee Brewers. And in the book, she said that her husband, Sal, told her at one point that there's only one guy he's ever met in baseball that has remained true to his wife, and that was Tommy John. And he did it because he was extremely religious, and that's all he needed was his wife. But he said every other baseball player that I've ever met, so that's in the hundreds, that was the thing. You're out on the road, all bets are off, women show interest, I'm in a bar, I meet somebody, I get whatever I want. That's how it worked. And that's a baseball player, which is nice,
right.
But a rock star,
it's even more
intense.
Yeah, but you said these guys, you know, it's accessible to them, and once they're used to it, how could you, you know, not have it anymore?
Yeah.
Because you're used to it when you're single. I know what a stud you were.
Yes.
But once you get married, that's when you say...
For most of us, but I just think that...
So it's okay for a rock star or baseball player to do it?
It's not okay, but I just think it's part of... It's like part of their chemical composition of what they've become. That's part of the spoils of being a rock star is you get unlimited women all day, every day, or all night, every night. Whatever you want. I don't know how... I can't imagine a woman who would fall in love with a guy who's in a top-notch band... Like Ozzy Osbourne's situation with Black Sabbath, where you go, I'm sure once we walk down an aisle together and say I do, I'm positive that he won't see other women. It's just me from that day forward. I can't imagine.
I think they hope that. I think they know it. But, you know, then why get married? That's just...
Right.
Girls, what are you doing?
Right. Right.
Just be a groupie.
Yeah.
Never a wife.
Yes. All right. There are people on the line who want to discuss this. We'd love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200. Call in or text in. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I'm addicted to sex. I'm not. I was playing the part of Ozzy.
But if you were, that would have been the right way to come out and admit it. Because then you could just claim, I was just doing my Ozzy impression. Ozzy Osbourne, you know, the lead singer for Black Sabbath, and fine entertainer in his own right, has now come out to admit that he is a sex addict. He had an affair, which kind of split up his family for a while. But as he has explained the last day or two, it's because he is a sex addict, so he couldn't control himself.
And he's doing outpatient, and as Sharon mentioned on the talk, he's going to be doing like, I don't know if she said a 3-month, I think a 90-day inpatient thing.
Yeah.
Has Ozzy agreed to this?
I don't know.
Or is she just saying that's what he will be doing? Esther, join the party here.
You know, the subject you have is really wonderful. I think once you get married, you hold to your vows. A lot of nice-looking people in the world. Both men and women. You look and you keep on walking. And this sex stuff, addict, it's a bunch of malarkey. It's a person that's all into themselves and they aren't thinking of what about their spouse or their family. And after being married a long time, having an affair, whatever it is, temptation, that's a deal breaker.
Amen. Everything you said, Esther, is 100% true.
Yep. Thanks, Esther.
You're the voice of reason. Would you like to run against Donald Trump for president?
No, that's not where I'd like to run Donald Trump, okay?
Esther, thank you.
Wendy, I'm upset with you about yesterday.
What'd I do?
you wanted fall to come. I'm not ready for fall.
That was upsetting to many of us, Esther.
I'm sorry.
We need more summer, not more fall.
Right.
Yep.
I just have a hankering for pot roast, don't you?
You can still have it.
Love you guys.
Thanks,
Thank
Esther.
Thank you, Esther.
You can go buy pumpkin spice Cheerios if you're in the mood. I saw they're coming out like next week.
Yeah. Bill and I are the only two people who despise anything pumpkin flavored.
Oh, yeah. I love pumpkin.
You do?
Yes. Mm. I love anything pumpkin.
Are you a pumpkin addict?
Must
you can use that as,
check
as an excuse.
All right, Matt wants in. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how are you?
We're good.
Hey, I'm a lifelong Aussie fan. Zach Wilde is his guitar player, and I've been to Chicago. I'm from Central Illinois. I've seen Zach Wilde several times in Chicago. He said on stage here about 5 years ago, why eat hamburger on the road when I can have steak at home?
That's, you know, Paul Newman used to say that about his wife, Joanne Woodward, all the time, because people would say to Paul Newman, you're Paul Newman. You could have any woman you wanted. And he would say exactly that.
He stayed true, I think.
I guess so. I hope so.
Yep, yep. Jack's a hell of a guy. I mean, and he stands by Ozzy for whatever Ozzy does. You know, Ozzy's an addict. Sharon's throwing him under the bus again, I think.
Do you think so, really? Yeah.
Yeah, I think with all the drugs and alcohol over the years, I mean, look at these tours with Motley Crue and the debauchery that went on there that they wrote about. I think she's kind of throwing him under the bus again. So, but that's just my opinion.
I think she's hopeful that he's going to change, but I don't know that that's going to happen.
He's not going to change. He's Ozzy.
Amen. He's Ozzy. That's what's going to say on his tombstone.
Right.
Yeah. He's Ozzy.
He's Ozzy. Not here lies Ozzy. He's Ozzy.
He's Ozzy.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it.
You know, the other thing to consider is Ozzy admitted that he is a sex addict, but you can't understand him when he talks. So he might have said that we're under space attack. There's like thousands of things he could have said, and you just thought he said he was a sex addict.
A sex addict at that age? Man, I need to find out what drugs Ozzy has been doing. Oh, that's right. All of them.
Oh. I give him credit. I mean, look, he really seems to have cleaned up. He had a terrible, terrible drug addiction and alcohol as well, and he was able to beat those things. So if you're looking at past history with him, he should be able to topple this as well.
And, you know, I feel bad judging. I really do. And 847 has said, Wendy, does a drug addict or alcoholic think about their families? And no, they don't. When they're an addict, all they can think about is scoring drugs or getting drunk.
But could say that about him just having an affair. During his affair with this woman, of course he wasn't thinking about his family.
Not
he
at
was
that
thinking,
second, maybe afterwards. Oh, crap.
Yeah.
Shen, that's right.
Yeah.
Right. I shouldn't judge, but it just, a sex addiction, again, if you have an addiction to sex, go take care of it yourself.
Right.
Seriously.
Right.
And then, you know, you're getting your fix or whatever.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make
doesn't
it okay.
Harm the family.
Right. It doesn't make
break
it
up the family.
Okay to go do it with someone else.
Right.
You have, it's not a sex addiction then. It's like another lady addiction.
That's what it
a
should be.
A woman addiction.
That's what it should be called, another lady addiction.
Yeah, that I got to work on.
You'll get the title down. It'll be fine. But
well, good luck to them.
We wish them nothing but good luck.
I like to see couples that have been together for a long time stay together.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break and then some news with Kim Gordon and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We were talking before the news about American Girl dolls. I find them to be beautiful.
They're beautiful, and you know, you didn't have daughters. You have two sons,
thank
so you
God.
Wouldn't know this. But for a while, when Reese and Kylie were collecting American Girl dolls, I'd say about 3/4 of the money I made went toward their outfits and wardrobe.
They do have some pretty beautiful clothes, more so than people.
Right. We dressed their dolls better, I think, than we dressed our daughters for a little while. Very expensive stuff.
And the dolls themselves are not cheap, correct?
No, they're expensive. And, you know, once we got the girls one, they wanted another one, then another one. So I think we had 6 or 7 at one point, and they all had extensive wardrobes. So we had to sell our house.
May I ask you a question? Because I mean this sincerely.
Yeah.
Did your daughters, Kylie and Reese, don't look alike at all? Did they choose American Girl dolls that sort of looked like themselves? Because that's a common thing for girls to do.
You know, it was kind of across the board. American Girl has some ethnic dolls. So they had, I remember they had an Asian one, and there was an African-American one, a couple white ones. I think either a Hispanic or an Indian. It's been a couple of years, but it was kind of a nice, you know, representation of everything culturally, I thought.
But a lot of times you pick, like, I have blonde hair, so I would probably pick one that looked like me.
Oh, sure, yeah.
We'd like to introduce you to 13-year-old Melissa Shang, who cannot get an American Girl doll that looks like her. Hi, Melissa.
Hello.
We talked to you before. You had started a petition. This was a couple of years ago.
You were a kid.
You started a petition a couple of years ago where you wanted the American Girl company to release a girl of the year who had a special trait, who was like you. What is that trait?
That trait is I want an American girl with a disability.
You wanted an American Girl doll that had a disability. You are in a wheelchair, correct? And why are you in that wheelchair? Why don't you tell us you have a form of muscular dystrophy?
Yes, I have trochlear tooth. That is a form of muscular dystrophy. It basically means that my hands and legs don't move right.
Your hands and legs don't move?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you said?
I mean, like, they move, but, like, they don't work as well as other people. Like, I can't really walk and stuff.
All right, so you just wanted to go to the American Girl doll store and buy an American Girl doll that was in a wheelchair like you, because I know that the girls try to get one that looks
of
like
course,
them. And,
sure.
And you wanted yourself represented. And what happened with that petition? This was 2 years ago. What did the American Girl doll store say?
Well, American Girl contacted us and said that they appreciated our efforts. And our voice was definitely heard, but they did not actually promise to give us a disabled girl of the year.
They wouldn't make any promises, right?
No.
Yeah.
Doesn't that seem, I know you're only 13 years old, Melissa, but doesn't that seem silly of them to not want to please other people? I think everybody could relate to a wheelchair American Girl doll.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yes, I completely agree. I was so disappointed.
And other doll companies, Melissa, I'm almost positive that Barbie has, there's an edition of Barbie that's in a wheelchair, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I know I've seen them for other dolls. It seems strange that American Girl wouldn't follow suit. That's very confusing.
I can't believe they didn't do it. To me, I think that would have been a great marketing move, but you didn't let that stop you. You wanted your story to be told, so you wrote a book.
Yes. So, unfortunately, we realized that we did not promise this, and we're disappointed, but then we realized something. We can make our own story starting a girl with a disability, and that's how Mia Lee is wheeling through middle school and was born.
And the book, as you just said, Mia Lee is wheeling through middle school. What grade are you going into in the fall?
I'm a 7th grader, soon to be 8th grader.
Soon to be an 8th grader, and Mia Lee is wheeling through middle school, will basically show that all kids with disabilities can be heroes, too.
Yes.
It's available at Amazon, and what has been the response to the book? Are people loving it?
I don't think many people have actually bought it yet, but we have been sending books to the people that supported our Kickstarter.
Oh, there's a Kickstarter. You have a Kickstarter page.
Yes.
This is so good. You wanted your story to be told, and despite the fact that American Girl didn't help you out, you just wanted your story to be told. There's a preview of the book, and you can buy it on Amazon. We will post a link on our Facebook page, Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. And when is the book coming out?
The book is actually coming out today.
Oh, today's
that's
the
great.
Day.
Congratulations. That's exciting, isn't it?
Thank you. Yes, it is.
That's great.
How long did it take you to write this book?
Well, it took us a couple of months to a year, and we wrote the first to Jeff, and then we hired a collaborator to help us write it and stuff.
And the main point of the story is not the fact that Mia Lee is in a wheelchair. What are some of the things she does in the book?
In the book, Mia Lee is a stop motion filmmaker like me, and she's in sixth grade. She's also very sassy. Of course, she's also in a wheelchair, but that's definitely not the main focus of her life. The plot is about her trying to get elected to president of Video Production Club against the middle school mean girl and making some new friends along the way.
Did you say at the very beginning that you wanted to be a filmmaker?
Yes, stop motion filmmaker.
Oh, very nice. Stop motion animation, right?
Yes.
Great. That would be fantastic.
Well, good luck to you. I'm sorry the American Girl doll isn't out there in a wheelchair like you requested, but I hope you have lots of success with the book that you've written. It's called Mia Lee is Wheeling Through Middle School, excuse me, and it's available on Amazon, and today is the day you can get it. Is there your Kickstarter page that you would like to share with people, or is that all finished with?
My Kickstarter page is already finished. But if you, any of you want to check it out, you can just search up Wheeling Through Middle School on Kickstarter.
Okay, so Wheeling Through Middle School on Kickstarter, that's what you look for?
Yes.
And go to Melissa Shang's website. You are unbelievable. It's melissashang.com and Disability Advocate Age 13. You should be very, very proud of yourself.
Thank you.
Thanks, Melissa. Good luck with the book. Good luck with everything.
Thank you, too.
Absolutely. Thanks, Melissa.
Bye.
Thank you. She is so sweet.
She's adorable. Now, if you're American Girl, your justification in this, you could say, as a business move, we probably won't make enough to cover our costs, but it's such good PR for the company, especially a company like them that kind of does celebrate diversity. If you saw their line of dolls, they go out of their way to be inclusive of pretty much as many cultures as they can. So wouldn't you think they might, even though it might lose some money for them in the long run, it's goodwill.
Aren't they making enough
money?
They're
doing all right. They're doing okay.
I mean, those dolls are so beautiful, and I really think every kid wants to identify with a doll that looks like them.
Right. Or has the characteristics that they know. Yeah, you would think.
Leslie, how sweet is that little girl?
Absolutely wonderful. I've never had that amount of gumption, when I was that age to do the kind of things that she's doing. But I wanted to call because while I was listening to you, an email came up, inviting me back for seasonal employment at American Girl.
Oh, yeah? How about that?
So I've worked there for the last 2 years. And I know they don't have a Girl of the Year that's handicapped, but they do have, you can buy a doll and get the wheelchair and get the, hearing aids and things like that.
So those are accessories over there. I didn't see. Wow.
All right,
I wonder
now,
if she knows that.
She has to know that, doesn't she?
Well, I don't know if her gripe with them was to just have a doll that came with the wheelchair because...
Right. A doll of the year so people would notice it more.
Yeah, right. Maybe.
Is that a recent thing, Leslie?
It's been there like the last 3 years that I've been there.
With hearing aids, too. That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's a wonderful thing. It's just she didn't get a doll of the year, which is okay.
Right.
And your impression of American Girl is perfect. It's a wonderful place to work for.
Good.
Oh, it's lovely.
Glad to hear that. They still do the shows over there? They do like a stage show?
Well, I'm in the call center.
Oh,
there's
right.
a stage? What are you talking
there's
about?
There's a stage show where...
Yeah, at the American Girl store.
Yeah.
God, I'm sorry, guys, but I'm really glad I had boys.
They have actresses act out, like they take the most popular American Girl dolls, and then in the stage show, actresses portray them, and they tell their stories.
Really?
And they sing songs, and
That's pretty amazing. How many did you have to go to, Bill?
I somehow got out of them. But my daughters went, and all their friends went, and everybody went, yeah.
How come there are no boy dolls?
Well, they're action figures.
I asked that once, and they said, well, they did it because they are focusing on girls because so many other things are male-oriented.
Yeah, I guess I can see that, can't you?
I could.
Yeah. When I was little, I had my little baby doll called Puddin'. I loved her. She was just my baby doll that I pretended, you know, was my baby.
She was made of pudding, wasn't she?
No, no,
she
it was Puddin'.
And they do have the baby dolls, twins. Yeah. That you can get in boys also.
Oh, they do.
See, it's funny you mentioned that, Leslie, because there was a little boy doll that when I was growing up that I wanted, and my mom insisted I only wanted it because it looked different.
Yeah.
And I did, but I said, so, you know, what if I have a little boy when I have a baby someday?
She sounds prophetic.
I know. Look at what. Thank you, Mom. Yeah. She never got me that doll because she thought I just wanted to look at, you know, change the diapers a lot.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Thank you, Leslie.
You're more than welcome.
Well, that's good to know.
I don't know if you'll remember this, but years ago, there was a doll. It was the Joey Stivic doll, and it was based on Archie Bunker's grandchild. And it was anatomically correct, anatomically correct. It could blow up if you rubbed it the wrong way. So there was like an uproar in toy stores because...
Of the unit?
Yeah, because it was...
There was one before the Joey Stivic doll, unless that's the one I wanted. Was it probably...
That was the first one that came out, and that would have been in the late 70s.
That's probably when I
wanted.
Is
that the one you wanted?
No,
yeah.
I wanted it sooner.
Oh.
I guess I'm almost late 70s. No, I was too old. Then I wanted real boys.
Can't help
not
you with that.
Not just a baby doll.
No, I know. I get it. All right. We'll take a quick break. There's a lot of callers online. Stay there. We'll get to your calls in just a minute. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. So that's it's Bill and Wendy. We're talking about American Girl dolls. We just had on a girl, Melissa Shang, who was upset because they weren't making a doll that was exactly like her. She is in a wheelchair, and she was upset that that wasn't a featured doll of the year or doll of the month. How did they? What
she
do they
wanted
call it
to be American Girl of the Year.
Yeah.
But I'm looking, and I mean, you can get a wheelchair set with accessories for 18-inch dolls like American Girl dolls on Amazon.
Oh.
They have crutches. They have a cast.
Yeah.
That's pretty cute. But I'm trying to see it on the. American Girl, the Feel Better Kit for Dolls. That's what it's called.
What does that include?
You get, it's $30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everything there is at least $30. 1 year, I'll never forget this, at Christmas time, Terry gave me a list. It was, Christmas and my daughter's birthdays are both in the same week. So she gave me a list that said American Girl on the top of the envelope, and then I went to the American Girl place. It's in Water Tower, and I brought out the list, and they know, like, when a guy like me walks in, because I look lost all the time anyway, but they see a giant dollar sign walking through the door. So two different women came over immediately. I was there in 20 seconds, and they both went, "What do you need help with? We can tell you need help." So I handed them the list, and we got what was on the list, and it was several hundred dollars. It was almost $300. It was 200 and something. And then I brought all that home, and my wife said, "You were supposed to get one thing for each girl. What did you do?" Because I didn't. I
so
thought,
the list was optional.
Yeah,
like
it was
a
different
few
things
items.
For the American
you
girls.
You got all of
I
them.
I got everything.
It was the best Christmas ever, wasn't it?
Christmas and birthday, yeah, for them. We had to cancel our health insurance. We couldn't afford health insurance anymore.
All right. There is a Berry wheelchair for dolls at BERRY. It is at American Girl.
Yeah.
And this doll-sized wheelchair features an inner star graphic on the seat back, plus wheels that really turn, adjustable footrests, and a side pocket to hold necessities.
Wow. That's a lot of stuff.
But it's still... I kind of understand Melissa Shang wanting a girl who's already in a wheelchair. I mean, this can be purchased separately, but I
You're
kind of agree with her.
You're saying that's a tag
her.
On, right. Just an extra, let's go all out and say, here's a girl who has disabilities and celebrate that. Yeah.
So I kind of agree that with her.
Right.
But you can get it for $38, which is a really good deal.
Yeah. How much that's is not
a,
terrible.
How much is a doll?
In the thousands.
No, they're not.
The good ones are. I don't remember how much they are, but I do remember, like, they would have one for a while, and then they would say, well, you know, she needs to have more friends, so we would buy more dolls.
Yeah,
more
that's
American
how
Girl
it works.
Dolls.
And, Bill, evidently they got rid of the stage show. I loved it with my daughter.
Oh, they did?
I never heard about the stage show. I have heard about the tea parties because I have friends who have girls.
Yeah.
And the tea parties have a special chair so your American Girl doll can sit next to you at your particular table.
Right.
And then there's a hair salon for them, too, for the doll or the kid.
It's
for the doll. I've been with my nieces. I've been to the tea and the hair salon. It's for the doll.
Kim, since you've been there, unless I dreamt this, tell me, but I think this is real. A lot of the people who attend the American Girl tea parties, what you'll have is you'll have the doll and then the girl is dressed like the doll. And then sometimes the mom is also dressed like the girl and the doll. Is that correct?
Well, I don't remember mothers being dressed like the doll, but absolutely the kids are dressed like the doll.
The girls dressed like the doll.
Yeah. I don't remember that, but it was really fun.
Now, if I brought in one of my Spider-Man action figures and I was dressed like Spider-Man, I bet you'd make fun of me, wouldn't you?
I don't need an excuse to make fun of you. I really don't.
But and then if you danced at the same time.
Right. Then that'd be crazy.
Again, there's a wheelchair that you can buy as an add-on, but there is no girl as far as I'm seeing right now. There's a doll wheelchair set.
Mm-hmm.
But I do not see an actual... doll.
Why wouldn't they just package it together? Doesn't it make sense?
Well, it's so surprising because all the dolls are diverse from different cultures, different ethnicities. They're trying to teach people about being different. And
right.
You'd think that this would they would have it.
Yeah, perfect example of that.
Well, it's sold separately.
Yeah.
I don't know.
At least, I have to give them credit, at least somebody's making one. When we first started this, I'm like, well, just make the wheelchair. If you lose a couple of bucks on it, lose a couple of bucks. It's good for business.
All right, we have to talk to Judy real quickly here. Judy, we don't have a lot of time, but this is an interesting phone call. Go ahead.
Hi. I understand the feelings of the girl that wants to have a doll in a wheelchair that wins the doll of the year. But during the time when I was looking at those dolls and my children were that age, it kind of creeped me out to think that a child would want to have a doll that looked like itself. Like you would get the doll and play with yourself. Yeah, because they had dolls that you could paint the hair, the eye color, the face, everything to look like you. And I always thought the diversity was trying to get a doll that maybe had blonde hair if you had brown hair or whatever, but to clone yourself seems kind of weird.
That is weird.
It is a little Twilight Zone-like now that you think about it, but I think kids just want to identify with, hey, that looks just like me.
But yeah, you wouldn't pick friends. Like, would you ever pick friends?
My friends look like me.
Oh, they do? Okay. All right.
You need a wig. Judy, thank you so much. That is kind of a weird little thing, but you want to identify with American Girl doll.
I guess so.
But then how do you feel when your doll dresses better than you?
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? All right, a break, some news, more show. Bill and Wendy coming your way next on WGN.
This is an exciting moment for all of us. The Olympics kicks off tomorrow, the opening ceremonies. The flag will be carried by one Michael Phelps.
If he's not too doped up to do it. He's got a problem with the dope, Wendy. He's on the dope.
Not anymore.
Is he off the dope?
I know that he was a big advocate for ADHD.
Oh, was he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
his mom came
him.
Out saying, you know, he definitely suffered from ADHD. And put it to use for him. And I forgot, is he the all-time gold medalist?
He's the most decorated U.S. Olympian in history.
Seriously?
Yeah, he is.
I heard that this morning on the news, and I thought, wow, who was the first one? Was it Mark Spitz?
Mark Spitz had 7 gold medals, right? But I think Mark Spitz only competed in 1 Olympics, and this is the third, I think. Third or fourth? Third, right, for Michael Phelps? I think.
I don't know. Are you president of his fan club? Because I know I'm
not. No.
All right. Well, the Olympics games, this 2016 Olympics, the opening ceremonies are tomorrow.
Right.
It's already upon us.
I know.
And there have been some problems. I know that. And now just to add to it, a gate of the Maracana Stadium, Maracana, the host venue of the Rio Olympics, had to be forced open after organizers reportedly lost the key.
There's only one key to the venue?
You'd think they would have made duplicates.
You should always have if you have a big Olympic-sized venue, you should have a backup and put it underneath the mat. I always love people who put the key under the mat because a burglar would never think of that. Would they? A burglar would never in a million years go, well, there's a mat there. There couldn't be a key to the house under there.
You know what everybody uses now? I'm giving away a secret to all the would-be robbers out there.
Right.
It's the fake rock.
That's a good one.
It is, because who's going to like go through and where do you put the rock if it's with a bunch of other rocks?
It has to be in similar style rocks.
Right.
If you have a bunch of little white pebbles, you can't put a big giant brown boulder
just leave
made
the,
of plastic.
Right. Leave the plastic rock on the doormat,
right,
and then all's good.
Right, yeah, palm south.
Julia Carneiro, a BBC reporter at Rio de Janeiro, captured the incident on video outside the stadium prior to Wednesday's women's football match between Sweden and South Africa. So they have, like, pre-Olympic games?
Yeah, it's going on, that, like that soccer
oh,
match
yeah,
I was
I guess,
talking.
Yeah.
They've been doing that for a few days.
Two men described as firemen are seen using a pair of bolt cutters to break the padlock and open the gate.
How embarrassing.
That is totally embarrassing.
Yeah.
Also, earlier this week, it was revealed that some 1,400 aquatic athletes were at risk of becoming violently ill due to high levels of pollution in Rio's waters.
Yeah.
Swimmers and other athletes who ingest just 3 teaspoons of water will almost certainly contract viruses that can cause stomach and respiratory illnesses.
Oh, no. 3 teaspoons.
That's not a lot.
No.
1.3 million tickets for the games also remain unsold. How much is it to go to the Olympics?
You mean the travel or just like to buy an event ticket?
Like say you're there. Say you just happen to be going there for your vacation.
Right.
And you wanted I think
the price is, I think it's like almost any sporting event that the prices vary a bit depending on how good your seats are.
I am a complete idiot because I was thinking about that today. I'm sure the Olympics are free.
No, they're not free. I know
I
you have
know
to pay.
That. Well, 1.3 million tickets for the games are unsold at this point, with demand lower than in previous summer games.
Uh-oh. That's a bad sign.
About 500,000 of those tickets are for football matches based outside of Rio.
Football meaning soccer.
All right.
Right?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure.
A lot of problems. And
a stack of problems. All kinds of problems.
And this has come up before where people have called and said, you know, Olympic Village has always had trouble getting finished and completed by the time the Olympic Games start. But
right.
Aren't you curious now to watch the opening ceremonies to see what it looks like?
I'm pretty sure they'll do their best spin on it during the opening ceremonies, and it'll look all sparkly and fantastic. A friend of mine has to go on business. He has business dealings there as part of the Olympics, and he's dreading it. He's saying, I wish I didn't have to go, but it's my business. I have to go.
And, you know, Zika obviously is a bit of a problem, and now Zika is in Florida. And we are going to talk to someone one of these days about the Zika virus, because I'm a hypochondriac, not as bad as Ro, but I'm not that afraid of it.
You're not at all?
I've already had kids. They say you get very sick. They're worried about people who are pregnant
right.
or may become pregnant in a short amount of time. But
right.
just like for you and me, I don't know that it would affect us. We'd be sick.
I think I'd rather know conclusively because all this seems to be fairly new, you know, so I would almost rather wait. Like, honestly, if I had to be there for some reason right now, I'd be really leery. And the fact that it's getting closer, the fact that it's in Florida
mm-hmm.
doesn't sit well with me either. But I'd almost want them to be more conclusive on exactly what the gestation period is. They still seem to be floating on some of those numbers. So
I know. They said it couldn't be contracted person to person. It would only be if you got bit by a mosquito.
Right.
Well, then a caretaker got it.
Right.
Someone who was caring for someone with the Zika virus. How does that happen unless they were intimate?
Right. With a mosquito?
No. That would not be very satisfying, Bill. I have to tell you,
it is not. It is not.
Constant buzzing.
Oh, who needs that?
And then to add insult to injury, a Japanese Olympic star has blamed Pokemon Go for his $5,000 bill in roaming charges from his phone carrier. Artistic gymnast? Yes.
Really? All right.
I love watching those gymnastics.
But are they commonly referred to as artistic gymnast or just gymnast?
According to TheVerge.com, it is artistic gymnast
right.
Kohei Uchimura.
Yeah.
who won gold at the 2012 Games in London and is the reigning world champion, said he only downloaded the Pokemon Go app after arriving in Sao Paulo to train for Rio, but he quickly got hooked despite not having arranged a flat rate for data roaming.
Uh-huh.
Uchimura couldn't believe his eyes, quote, when he saw the bill, according to a news agency. He looked dead at the team meal that day. Pokemon Go isn't particularly heavy on data, but there were likely other culprits. But $5,000 in roaming charges.
And that's his monthly bill.
Yeah.
For $5,000. So would this have helped? You and I have discussed this, that sometimes if you have to go to a foreign country, your son went to Ireland, my daughter went to Costa Rica, you have to kind of call them,
call
your
carrier.
Phone carrier and say, hey, for this amount of time, this phone is going to be used in a foreign country, and then they give you some sort of a price discount on your monthly bill, right?
Not a discount. You have to add, I think it was $30 we had to pay. It's kind of like insurance that, because if you have your phone that's able to connect to any wireless network,
right,
and you're traveling in another country and it just pings off a tower and connects,
yeah,
and you're using data like you have an app open or something, it's just going to keep ringing up like, you know, this artistic gymnast.
For $5,000.
Yeah. So they told us, I think it's $30 for the 1 month period. You have to get it for a month, even though he was going for 10 days. From this date to this date is when he'll be traveling. So for that next month, it's $30, and that covers, you pay $30, so there's no way you're going to go over.
But think about, even at that rate, what a bargain that is.
When, absolutely.
Remember when, in the days when you'd make a long-distance call, and you'd only be on the line for an hour or two, and you'd see your monthly bill, and it would be $30, $40, $50, and you go, how did that happen?
Do you remember when you had to use the operators to
right,
make long-distance
call? Yeah.
I know we sound like ancient, but it really...
Right.
You know, and then it got to the point where you could dial zero first
yeah.
and then the number.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. God, you just pick this up and talk to it, and all of a sudden someone's talking at the other end.
And then I learned this from watching my parents during long-distance calls. When you made a long-distance call, whoever you talked to, you had to speak very loudly to them. Even though it sounded like they were right across town,
I know.
You still had to very loudly.
Can you hear me?
Right.
How is everyone?
Right.
It's so true.
You'd talk about the connection for a few minutes
right.
before anything else.
Oh, that sounds great.
We got a great connection, Grandma. How are things in Florida? So there was a lot of loud talking. Because like now, you know, your kids with a cell, they just call anywhere in the world and it just sounds like normal. Nobody's talking loud anymore.
I know. It's pretty amazing when I got a new phone how clear it sounds like they're just in the other room.
Yeah, yeah. So there's progress.
Yeah, I guess.
Sorry to this guy with the bill.
Yeah, the artistic gymnast.
Bucks. Yeah, he's an artistic gymnast.
And it was 500,000 yen, by the way, just if you wondered what
the conversion rate?
Yes.
All right.
5,000 U.S. To 500,000 yen.
Wow. Wow. He needs a new hobby because this is costing him everything. All right, we'll take a break, and then we have a lot more show. Well, not a lot more
we
show.
Have
we have a
tiny
little bit,
bit
more
left.
Show, but it'll be good. You'll see. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.
Can I ask you a question, Bill?
Oh, yes.
It's Bill and Wendy. We're wrapping up our show. Ro and Anna coming up at 3. If you were able to go to the Olympics to perform, say you were younger and...
Uh-huh.
Is there a ping pong?
Yeah, table tennis is part
of it. Is
there
really?
Yeah, in the Summer Olympics, there will be table tennis.
Okay, so are you going to watch any of that, by the way? Is any of that televised, or do you have to go closed circuit on that?
It is televised. That's not one of your marquee events, so it's normally shown at a very peculiar hour.
Oh, like a tape delay.
So...
Is Costas out there again?
Yeah, I think he... I'm almost positive
I
Bob
love
Costas
that guy.
Is out there again.
He does such a great job. My question to you is if yeah. you had qualified and uh-huh. you would have been... An Olympic athlete, not an artistic gymnast, but a
yeah.
table tennis.
An artistic table tennis player?
Yes. Would you have had any doubts whatsoever about going, even though the Zika threat is there?
Yes.
You really
I would have had serious doubts.
You're this young kid
yeah.
who is kicking ass and taking names on the ping pong table.
Right.
You have qualified to go to the Olympics maybe once in your lifetime,
right.
and you would have second thoughts?
Yeah. I would need somebody very convincing to assure me that there's no way in the world that this could mess me up.
Sanjay Gupta?
I would have to have Dr. Sanjay Gupta sit me down, and Dr. House, Dr. Gregory House, those are the two doctors I trust most in the world. So if Dr. Gupta and Dr. House had a sit down with me and said, Bill, there's no way in the world this could harm you in any way, shape, or form, then I might consider it. But I would be very leery to go right now.
I am shocked. I would. I mean, if you made those great accomplishments right. and got to that level of being able to participate in the Olympics,
yeah,
you'd, not you'd a doubt in my it. Mind.
All right.
You have to get bit by a mosquito. You can wear, they're telling you, the long sleeve clothing, right. the DEET.
Yeah, you got to put DEET on. Yep. Yeah, I don't want to seem like I'm a scaredy cat because I'm not usually a
you're
scaredy
really,
cat.
Typically, but you're not.
This is one of those things just because it's so fresh. And I know almost every year there's some weird, mysterious malady or illness that kind of permeates and people go, uh-oh, is the bird flu? Is that what's going to do us
oh,
in?
Oh, yeah, the avian flu.
Yeah. So I know I get that almost every year there's some weird illness that sweeps over either the country or the you know the world, but this one makes me a little nervous for some reason. I don't know. You'd be okay. You wouldn't
well,
even
yeah.
think twice
I mean,
about it.
Yeah, I mean, I was listening. Ryan Burrow's done such a great job with these the Road to the Gold and mm-hmm. the Olympic hopefuls. A lot of them from the Chicago metro area. They're all going
right. Well, here's who's not going is all the Olympic athletes who are normally professionals. You know, there's a lot of, I guess the
golfers.
Golf is the perfect example, is those guys.
Who needs them? They shouldn't even be able to go there anyway.
Yeah,
this
I know.
Is
for
know. People who are not professionals, I thought.
Well, up until a short few years ago, that was the way the Olympics were, is you had to not be able to make a living doing the sport you participated in, but they've changed all that. So what you're seeing now is it's primarily golfers, but it's happening in some other sports too, where they say, why risk it? Do I really even need to risk it? And I would kind of fall into that category.
Yeah, but these are people who are already making money at
right.
their sport and they've
right.
won some.
But if you're looking at table tennis, even the top tennis, table tennis players in the world, they don't make any money. They just don't. You know?
All right. So then you have the opportunity to win gold in table tennis. You're a young guy.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the bill a few years
right.
ago.
Right. This is a couple years ago, me.
You really wouldn't go? This is your maybe once in a lifetime opportunity
yeah,
to participate in the Olympics.
I know. It'd be hard. I would be scared the whole. I would not only be scared the entire time, I'd be scared for months afterwards.
But Zika doesn't even really do anything other than...
Well, the birth defects thing, but
you're
I
not
mean,
having a baby, are you?
No, I'm not. I want to make
that clear,
I'm not.
If you do, will you tell me I'll have a shower?
No. Wow, I wouldn't mind having a shower. Can I get back to you on that?
No, but I mean, the Zika virus will make you ill, but you, from what I understand, although you're right, this it seems like...
The rules of it,
they change.
They keep changing.
Weekly.
Right. And that's the part above and beyond all else that frightens me, is that every time they think they know the parameters of what this is exactly, there's new information. So that's the part that kind of makes me a little leery.
Yes. Zika is dangerous for pregnant women who are at risk of giving birth to infants with neurological defects.
Yeah.
As a result of the infection. It can cause Guillain-Barré syndrome, a condition that leads the body's immune system to attack the nervous system, often causing paralysis.
I don't need that.
And it can be transmitted sexually, but there are still a lot of unknowns about Zika, including which mosquitoes can carry it and how long it stays in the body.
See, that's what I mean, though, is all those little unknown factors. I want them to know exactly what it's doing and to who and when and how. I don't want stuff still be floating in the air.
They still say the risk is relatively low at the Olympics.
It would be awful for any Olympians who have worked hard to get there to have the same attitude that I have, where they go, I'm playing it safe. I'll watch it on TV. But you kind of get it, don't you? If somebody pulled out at this point, you go, no, I understand.
I don't know what to tell you. I just, Linda, what did you want to jump in with before we get out of here?
I guess, Wendy, that you have not been made aware or have heard all these doctors and the CDC talking and telling young men to stay away from the Olympics, because if they're thinking of starting a family, if they get infected by the Zika virus, it can affect their sperm. And for months and months and months, they are saying, if you're thinking of having a child within the next year, do not go, because you can transmit that virus through the sperm to your wife and affect that unborn child. It can also, they're telling women who aren't pregnant, do not go, because if you get the virus, it can stay in your body for months on end. You get pregnant later. It can affect the fetus.
And see, that's what we're saying. They seem to be changing these theories on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
I didn't hear any changes. And to me, yes, I understand what you're saying about the gold medal and training for years and how important it is. But to me, my life or the life of my spouse or the life of my child, unborn child, is much more important than a medal. So I would never condemn anybody staying away. And I could certainly understand them having to make that horrible choice. But making that choice, I agree with Bill. I would stay far away.
Thank you, Linda.
Thanks.
We appreciate
it.
And
we're trying to get in touch with someone about the Zika virus. We're going to talk to a doctor about it on Tuesday.
Oh, good. Okay,
they're very
good.
Busy. So you're going to have to get through the weekend without knowing. But
yeah. We
have just so many questions because, seriously, as Linda mentioned, I have heard that it does stay in your system and you can transmit it.
Right.
But then I've heard other people say, you know, if like older people like us who aren't going to have children, you'll get very sick and then
right. It
runs its course and you get better. It's not like it's a life-threatening thing for someone who's not in childbearing.
Uh-huh. Sure, I get it.
But there are just too many questions.
Right. So Tuesday we'll clear that up.
Yes.
Until then, stay in your homes. Don't leave your home. All right.
He's in Nairobi till then.
Is
Kevin,
that true?
Who is it that we're talking to?
One of the Nairobi trio.
Dr. Robert Murphy from the Feinberg School of Medicine at Northwestern.
Oh, that's right. And he's in Nairobi now, and we couldn't get a... And now there's news, too, that this yellow fever vaccine, a million dosages has gone missing.
Doses, right?
What did I say?
Dosages.
I'm sorry.
That's right.
There's a million vaccines disappeared of this yellow finger...
The yellow finger? Is that...
That's from eating Cheetos. The yellow fever vaccination. How do a million doses go missing?
I don't know what happened there. I have no idea what happened.
Oh, this is just going to get Rokan riled up.
I think it might. We'll find out if that's true next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.